My God.
All right, here we go. We're recording.
We're recording. This is episode one.
No, episode zero.
Episode zero of Minions. Martians. Minions of the Martian Masters. Monsters.
Yep. Can we cut and do that again?
Episode.
Wait, hold on. Okay. This is the show right here.
This is the show.
It's a show about nothing.
And really, not like Seinfeld.
Really heard about really them.
Okay, so I guess Andy, you're going to get set up to walk us through this process of creating characters.
Oh, and actually, you're not done with your character.
Okay, is that a statement or a question?
It's a statement. Every class has special abilities, which we didn't get to.
I always felt special.
As the Arch-Militant, you're a weapon master. Choose one and only one class of weapon. The Arch-Militant gains a +10 bonus to hit, +2 to damage, and +2 initiative when using a weapon of this chosen class in combat.
Yeah, power axe. Hello.
All right.
That's awesome. Should we introduce ourselves?
I've got a spare character.
Yeah, I know he's going to listen to this.
Maybe.
All right.
Hey, I'm Chris.
Well, no.
One.
You can't be Chris.
Dang, oh.
Your craws.
I'm Mick.
I got one character sheet. You guys can find it.
I've got a character sheet.
All right.
It's not really a character sheet. I'm just scribbling on a piece of paper. But hey.
Well, see, I haven't decided. Are we going to use real names? Or are we handles?
Oh, T-Bone.
I want to be Hollywood.
There you go. Hollywood.
Oh, it's already done.
Yeah, it's already done.
I was watching Top Gun the other day. I can't help it.
You're going to be Goose?
I'm going to be a pumpkin.
Now we got to keep it. You got to keep it clean.
Oh, did I say that?
Get the iTunes.
Oh yeah.
I'll beep it out in the
edit. I'll figure out what my handle is.
iTunes doesn't care.
What would you have to flag?
Oh yeah.
No.
I know.
If you do adult stuff, you have to flag it as adult.
Plus, whenever people curse in a podcast, it just feels so fake.
It does.
Like you're just fucking doing it to do it.
It's like they've got a machine that they just push the button on it. You know,
it's exactly. It's like, look at me, I'm fucking cool.
Yeah.
Fucking lot of bullshit. What is?
You know, my kids are gonna find this 20 years from now when I'm dead.
I can't believe my dad said those things. I'm biased, I won't believe it.
Do we need the date? Say the date. All I know, it's October
29th.
It's no,
2009, right?
It's 28th.
29th.
It's not work
29. That would be Saturday's Halloween.
I call shenanigans. I think it's 28th.
Look it up.
It's Thursday. Friday's the 30th. Saturday's the 31st.
All right. Fine.
Look it up.
I did.
All right.
You got additional pencil
money. I have a lot of pencils.
So, Chris and Oz. Oh, I meant to go by Office Max. I wanted.
Whoa. I don't think you should do any product endorsements.
Nobody gave me shit.
There's nobody Office Max ain't paying shit.
I want to give everybody an overlay. An overhead sheet, you know, and then mark on it. Do your origin path in different colors, and you can lay them all over the top of each other and see the intersections.
A social diagram, if you will.
I guess. Alright.
Can we just draw on that?
Well, yeah, you can.
Oh, you hesitated. You don't want us drawing on it?
No, you can't. It's just, you know, it'd be... I wanted to have like different colors for it.
I've got different color pens.
Okay. Do you want... So, in Dark Heresy, you got your career, and then you got your home world. And your home world gives you some advantages, and then you start your career, which gives you your starting skills and all that. So it's the same thing in Rogue Trader, except it also adds... Birthright, Lure of the Void, which is like why you left your home planet, Trials and Travails, which problems you ran into, Motivation, what motivated you to be in your current position as a rogue trader, and then you get to your career. Each step along the way gives you additional bonuses, just like your homework.
Okay.
So you come here, you might get +3 fellowship and, you know, forbidden lore, whatever. You can either start with your home world and work forward. So if you start a forge world and you come to your birthright, You can only pick these three, the one directly below you and to the left and the right.
I'd like to see somebody start at their profession and work backwards.
Or you can start at your profession and work your way backwards to your homeworld. Either way works, so you'll notice, like, if you come from a death world, you cannot make it over to Rogue Trader. Best you can get is Navigator.
And you're heathen.
If you're noble born, you'll never be an astropath transcendent. Other than that, you know, you can wind your way through to get to where you want to be from your starting point. It's up to you.
Andy is now showing us on the map how.
I know you can't see this at home.
I just nodded. Interesting.
I'll post it in the show notes.
Show notes, exactly.
It'll be on my blog. That's mixminis.blogspot.com.
That's Monsters of the Master.
Oh, Minions of the Monster Master.
So we're going to spend like $200 registering all these variations. So whatever we say, they go there.
It's going to be a running gag. We just can't remember it.
All right, so how you guys want to do it?
I've already done my stats. I'm going to do your stats with him.
Okay. Well, there's two ways to do it. You can basically roll, and it's 25 across the board, plus 25 across the board. Or you get 100 points, and you get...
I think everybody's rolled so far, so...
I did mine with points.
Did you?
Although I won't
be plus. That's not going to give you a lot of 100 points, and that equals like 300 points.
So you get 2d10, and then you add 25, or...
Start at 25, and then you get an additional 100 or something.
Where was it?
Allocating points and alternative methods. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Character scores. Just give each player a number of characteristic points that he may find if he wishes. Yeah.
It works out to be, if you do the points, this is almost exactly the average case. Right. So if you roll, you might get better than average, but you might also get below average. Okay. You know, if you average all your rolls together. So it's 100 points. So... 2d10, a 2d10 roll is what, 5.5, 11 each, times 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, so that's 99. So you get 100 points if you allocate. So it's whatever you want.
This is Mick, I'm back now.
What you might even do, if you want to allocate, just give yourself 25 across the board,
yeah.
Go through your origin path, figure out, okay, so I see which stat I want to bump up, and then you can start adding in your 100 points at the end.
I'll do that.
I actually have two stats. Unfortunately, they're not in what I need them to be, man. But that's okay. I'll bump them up later. You know what? The calling of the Emperor is not limited. It's not limited to just people with good fellowship.
You know, during character creation, you will get to a point where you can buy advances on your characteristics.
Why are you talking so loud?
I always talk loud.
Speaking to the mic.
The mic's loud. It'll pick you up.
Well, see, that's the problem. I got a loud voice
just
already.
Enunciate.
Oh, it'll be interesting. Which I don't do. Playing the stereo, how well that shows up.
Maybe it's background noise. Oh, yeah.
We're always going to have to have music.
All right. World Stub Jack.
All right, so
you can get our playlist at monstersofmidway.com.
Monsters of Midway?
I don't know. What is it?
Minions of the Master Monster.
Close enough.
So do you guys want to start with your origin path, or you know, leave room to do multiple ones in each one?
Can I do it wide like that?
Too late now.
Give me another one.
There's not going to be
more.
I don't
have another.
There's not going to be more than
that's
three
fine.
People.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, we're going to cross at one point.
Yeah. So the cool thing is, you know,
I'm doing it like this.
Where your guys cross on your origin path gives you a place to, you know, build your backstory together.
It looks like I'm sliding way, way over here. It's almost like I was heading for the arch militant.
So do you guys want to start? Do you have a particular career in mind? Do you
kind of
start
did,
there?
Yeah, but...
Oh, I hope we have another arch militant.
Is that what you wanted?
No.
Oh.
Just saying, what if
do we have other options?
We can't.
And nobody else can be an arch-militant.
No, they can't. Right?
We had another arch-militant.
That would be...
They killed it.
That would be really boring if we had... Because it's a ship, we need all the spaces. Plus, where's the fun in that in painting up figures? At mixminis.blogspot.com.
Commissions at $25 a figure.
Oh, I didn't think about commissions.
It's, no, product.
Okay, well then, so... Mick is being...
Wow, these figures are awesome! Painted by...
Would you like to tell people what you chose?
Okay. My character started out on a hive world. Basically ganger level, not aristocratic or anything. From there, he became a stubjack, earning his way into one of the local gangs. Unfortunately, criminal organization sought him for nefarious deeds done, so he left. That was his lure of the void. After being a criminal, he then went the path of the Hand of War under trials and travails, and that's where he basically became a John Connor type figure on a resistance movement against the Eldar. No Imperial Guard or anything, he just became a tactical leader and freedom fighter kind of guy. His motivation after the Hand of War was endurance, which I completely forgot what that does. And
what was it?
Endurance.
What is that? Motivation?
Motivation.
You seek to endure, and enduring grows stronger. You welcome opposition, risk, setbacks, injury, and pain as old friends. For the trials are but a stairway by which you will climb to greater heights. Endure, and you shall be made mighty in the God Emperor's eyes and in power of the Imperium.
That's like me in real life.
I'd like to point out that this is fair use.
Oh, yeah.
Covered under your American copyright law. No.
And then, obviously, after Endurance, I became the Arch Mutant. Militant. It looks like Mutant! And so that's it.
Alright, so you say you were a John Connor type figure.
I was thinking I was just a resistance fighter, but after you were talking about it.
So here goes. Granting. Specifically for a rogue trader, granting a warrant of trade. Like, so what did you do to become a rogue trader? Well, so they list a few things. You could have been a Lord General and High Admiral leading dozens of mighty crusades to retake entire regions lost to rebellion and alien invasion. Under your command, millions of warriors and hundreds of warships. Political expediency. Rulers have become so accustomed to absolute power that they desire to hold on to it for all time, rejecting their imperial masters. The only recourse in such a situation is yet another crusade to dislodge the pretender. Far better, then, to avoid the situation entirely by keeping the conqueror distracted with yet more reasons to conquer. So giving the guy a rogue trader deal so he can go out and cause problems elsewhere. But the point is he's huge. Self-promotion. You've worked your way up through the Imperium's bureaucracy. And are highly placed official.
So how come they don't work that grandiose type background into the career path?
You didn't. You're supposed to.
You didn't.
Why do you say so accusingly?
Well, because they just, it's like those cards, right?
Oh, yeah.
They just give you, crusade or endure or whatever. What was yours? The Hand of War. You said you were a John Connor's type of resistance against the Eldar. Why weren't you a conquering admiral with a dozen fleets and,
Well, I didn't want any ties to the actual Imperium.
Okay, well, then that's right. Maybe you led... there were no Imperials around. Maybe you led...
Well, we know what it was.
You were cut off.
The Imperials retreated from the system because Eldar came in mass.
Yeah.
Man, but they didn't care about the civilians that were stuck there, and that's when I rose to leadership. And, I'm the John Connor you never see.
Your criminal organization became the de facto military, the de facto resistance.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you guys are going to finish all the... Oh, okay, we got plenty left.
Easy there, big fella.
I'm just looking over, I see him going for it, and it's looking, there's none left.
Dude, it's brand new.
Hey, didn't I have another?
Yeah, it's in the door of the mini fridge.
Too bad you can't eat crunchy snack on a podcast.
Dude, you're the one who coughed earlier. We're gonna have to go in and edit that out.
I know. That's fine. Okay, so these.
And this beverage is tasty.
So this. So we're not allowed to. Okay.
So they're not drinking there, Mick.
Oh, I'm enjoying a ice cold Budweiser in the bottle.
Andy, are you going by Andy?
King of beers.
Are you going by Andy?
No.
Oh, okay.
Shit. We gotta edit that out. Use my real name.
He's Duck
Don't
Sauce.
Don't use real names. Now we gotta kill him.
Duck Sauce.
Duck Sauce. Okay, Duck Sauce. So,
I'm Mr. Black.
Mr. Black?
I don't want to be stuck with pink. I'm green. I call it.
You're so not that. Okay. So, like when it says renegade here, there's no like description of what that means. You just make that up. Right?
Largely, yeah. Now
you have to sing the song. You renegade that finally found you.
Which one is renegade? That is Lure of the Void.
Oh, I'm in the wrong.
That's not what I was thinking. Now
that's what he was thinking.
There you go.
I mean, largely you're right. You can come up with the background for it, but it. You have the choice of three different results when you choose Renegade. Right?
Let's just jump into it and start and go.
Chris, what are you going by this punk? Flounder?
Yeah.
Flounder works. Okay, so Flounder, what do you want?
Why is he Flounder? We were talking about Flounder earlier.
Flounder.
Babylon 5?
Synchronicity.
Animal House?
You know, that I had the first pressing of that, and the vinyl was blue.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. So, look, we covered music, pop culture.
Did you know that... There's a Lego Rock Band?
Yeah.
Rock Band?
Of course. But the songs are all like teeny bopper type songs. There's no Megadeth or Coheed and Cambria.
There's only 8-year-olds playing Legos.
Oh,
man.
Okay. Do you know what you're going to play, Flounder?
I want a cool name. Oh, wait. T-Bone.
No, I already called
you that
earlier.
You said the Oz. I got a nickname at work. I was the Kermigen. I hate this podcast. Newfangled technology. We should play First Edition D&D. It was the only real role-playing system ever.
You can only go over one. Is that what they're...
You can go over one at each level.
Yeah, so straight down or left and right.
They talk about Dark Heresy for Voidborn. There are some Imperial naval families that are Voidborn that have never done anything with naval service. But Voidborn have Scavenger, Scapegrace, and Subjack as their birthrights.
Oh, really?
That doesn't really fit for a long naval tradition family. So.
Well, what? Let me see. Actually, I should have a copy in here.
Is Voidborn your homeworld?
Yeah. It talks about like naval families. They're entirely ship-mound. But they're not like traitors or scavengers. They're
You might do there is choose nobleborn.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't specify what world. You could be noble Voidborn. Right? And you can get over to duty-bound that way, which sounds kind of navalish. And underneath there is Shiplorn and Dark Voyage.
At this point, we're discussing different options for the character career path and playing a Voidborn who is of noble birth.
It's either Imperial
World...
ships
will make me thirsty.
Nobleborn would work for it. It's just I wanted to be the naval family that never touched ground. Because Imperial World is the guys who go up and like the administrative, you know, the ones that go on to form like civil service and stuff like that. At least that the Dark Heresy is kind of impression. Guys that grow up in like a firmly imperial world, not like a hive world, but not.
It would just be they have like the administrative worlds
like
or whatever.
The administrative worlds, the ones that are not, they're not the polluted wasteland of the hive world.
I dig you.
I mean, I really don't know what the intention was, but you could read that as, you know, that's void, non-noble, death world, non-noble. But if you are a noble from any of those places, you go straight over to there.
Okay. So you can be a noble from a death war.
I'll start up a noble war.
Yeah. And then you could be a rogue. You could be a rogue trader then.
Who is the rogue trader?
The rogue trader is Chris Miller.
Where's Chris Miller?
He is in Delaware. It's a really tiny state.
Weak excuse. First state.
Yeah, I guess so. I would consider San Salvador the first state since Columbus found it.
I kind of went with the Nova Scotia or something.
I like to think it's San Salvador's first conquest.
Well, see, I think it's always cool when you find a place that already has people living there. That's awesome.
Yeah.
When you find a place with people already living there.
You don't have to worry about populating it.
You
just
show up.
Oh! That's true. So it's going to be like that.
I hate all Jews.
But you like Israel.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's pick some careers and let's get going.
Okay, well, I'm ready to go. Here's my career path. I'll let you go first unless you want to.
No, it's fine.
We're going to do it together. And I'll do your guys' career path.
Who's doing the Chenasol?
Do what?
You're the Chenasol?
Hey, try to not curse on the podcast.
Chenasol?
Dude. All right, who wants to be red?
Where's the pumpkin stem? That's really...
Where is the pumpkin stem?
Do you show Oz?
Yeah. Well, he picked it up right up. Yeah. Damn bastard. I think that's a Warner Clock skull, too. Oh, yeah. It looks like it in the face.
Pumpkin
Not that I was looking that long.
I guess I know where the pumpkin stem is then. It's in the clocking booth.
Oh, no. Andy, do you have your career path on you?
Mine?
Yeah.
Like for my character?
Yes, sir.
Well, let's leave him out because he's probably not going to get played that much, right? I mean, if I'm running rogue trade.
Well, but we're going to have this cool, colorful thingy.
Well, you can. All right.
Where'd you start? Forge World? No, High World.
World. We started on the same world.
Okay, where'd you go from there? Child of the Creed?
Savant.
Okay. Oh, that's where we totally split. See, Andy's character, my character, started at the Hive World. He was minor nobility, and I was like, you know, the scullery boy living in there. And we were palling around until we split, and I became affiliated with the gangs, and he went to the Ecclesiarchy or something. All right, Savant. After Savant.
Zealot.
Yep. Zealot. After Zealot.
High Vendetta.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we're almost on opposite ends of the career path chart.
Motivation is pride.
Gotcha. And then Seneschal. Okay. Alright. See how easy that was, guys?
Crazy. I'm gonna take it. Exact same path.
I thought you were going to be a missionary.
And you know why.
I hope I wasn't being recorded then.
What? I'm just saying.
Can you not mess with that chart? I'll do it.
I really wanted
Let
to
me
be
do it.
I can't, I have to be able to see it to choose my path.
We'll read you the options.
I'm more of a visual person.
Here you go. You can read mine and Chris and mine.
Wait, what?
Chris and look at that
one. Okay.
Although, I'll actually... No. Mine's got to read you what they are.
Oh,
yeah. I thought I was pretty clear.
So we need to chart them.
Yep.
Chris, why don't you sit over here?
No, I can read upside down from here. I'm good. I'm going to choose a imperial world.
No.
That's right.
Imperial. Don't start marking right away.
Wait,
right?
I can't see anything.
Well, oh, yeah, I know. Let them figure it out. And then once they're firm, we'll...
Yeah, okay. Write it on. Can I do it when it's ready? Because yes. I really am excited about that. So what am I doing?
So now the table's been rearranged. So we have
check the levels.
So we have the man in black.
No, duck sauce.
Duck sauce.
Flounder.
Flounder.
T-bone.
T-bone.
I don't have one yet.
We'll work on that.
Everybody's cool names are me.
Bixminis.com.
Blogspot.com. This... Budweiser, king of beers.
Not being paid royalties. It just so happens...
Not yet. Can we focus?
I was sitting right here reading the book while you guys were out eating your Chinese, not you.
It was Asian. I don't think you can make that claim. It was just blatant Chinese.
Same thing.
Actually, it was about as Americanized as it can get.
And your wife was listening to Judge Judy very loudly upstairs, and she was very specific about copyright laws. You have to have permission to talk about Budweiser.
I'm going
to
send it to Budweiser.
Judge Judy said that.
They're going to be...
She was talking about some guys who posted this picture of their girlfriends naked on the internet. But it was sort of the same concept.
I don't even know where we're going with this. This Back is the show right here.
I think you have to have copyright to talk about their girlfriends.
I guess you probably do, don't you? Their name was Shamiqua and Tammy?
No last name.
Okay.
No relation.
I'm starting with the Imperial
I'll post
War.
The pictures in the show notes.
Show notes.
Imperial World. I'll start there.
All right.
Why not?
Imperial World.
You may want to take notes. I'm just saying.
I'll change later.
All right, so the Imperial World characters, so it's got quite a bit of fluff here, but it's basically your standard world. Your characteristic modifier is +3 willpower.
+3 will, that's a good call. Good call.
Did you just congratulate yourself?
Yes. Good job, T-Bone.
Blessed ignorance. Imperial citizens know that the proper ways of living are those tried and tested by the generations that have gone before. Horror, pain, and death are the just rewards of curiosity. The -5 penalty on forbidden lore tests.
You suck at this game.
Why would that hurt me? I'm a priest.
Dude, -5 forbidden lore? You might as well re-roll your character.
Hagiography. Widespread scriptures describing the lives and more importantly the deaths of the emperor's blessed saints and war masters and the endless sequence of endless wars.
Excellent.
Crusades and terrors and make up history. You get the following as untrained basic skills. So I think this is the difference between Dark Heresy and Rogue Trader. You have basic and advanced skills. Basic skills you can try without any ranks at half your ability. Advanced skills you cannot try at all.
That's not
Is that how they did in Dark Heresy?
Untrained basic skills.
It's just the Rogue Trader character sheet does a lot better job of showing that than the Dark Heresy sheet.
So you got the following advanced skills as basic skills. Untrained basic skills. Common lore, Imperial Creed. Common lore, Imperium. And common lore, War.
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 Okay.
I'm waking up.
You put a G in front of it. It's Guar, not Gwar. You have liturgical familiarity.
They have been sad for that.
You have untrained basic skills, literacy, and speak language, High Gothic.
Speak High Gothic?
Yes. This part of the podcast is brought to you by
Le Croix.
Refreshing pamplemousse.
Crack open a nice cool pamplemousse today. I gotta tell you, I like it. It's good stuff.
You want to choose your homework before I choose mine?
I got some more starting wounds.
Oh, good stuff.
Double your starting toughness and add 1d5.
What do you mean double your starting toughness?
Your toughness modifier.
Oh, for
your toughness bonus.
Okay.
The tens column. But divided by 10.
Dude, I get it. Are you going to be this hostile to me in all the podcasts?
There's nothing hostile. He's explained to
you. Are you going to attack me in all the podcasts?
I'm explaining to you in very simple words, just like you would speak to a kindergartner.
As if you would speak to a child.
So, what were your wounds?
Yeah.
What were your wounds? Roll a d10. Subtract 5 if it's over 5.
10,
so 5. What's your toughness?
33.
So your toughness bonus is 3. Double to 6. At 5, you got 11 wounds.
11 wounds. I am going to hurt some people. But they're not going to hurt me.
Roll another d10 for your fate points. You get good fate points.
Good fate points. 10. Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
4 fate points.
I'm sticking with that 10.
10.
That sucks.
Oh, look. A 10.
We gotta do a video podcast.
No, we'll just post that in the show notes. No photographs.
I've got a face made for podcasts.
he's pretty quick to agree right now. All
right, Chris, what do you want to do here?
I guess I'm gonna go with Nobleborn.
Nobleborn.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm gonna have to go diagonally across to get to Voidmaster for Nobleborn.
Alright, Nobleborn characters. Characteristic modifiers, -5 willpower, +5 fellowship. I guess you're slightly corrupt. You have a hard time declining the forbidden pleasures of the nobility. Your starting skills, you have the following as untrained basic skills. Literacy, speak language, high Gothic and low Gothic. Well, that's interesting. You did not get low Gothic.
No, I did not.
I got low Gothic.
Does everybody start with low Gothic? I guess not.
So I don't talk slang?
That might make an interesting party. You guys may not be able to talk to each other.
Yo, G, I'm down with the hypnotic stuff.
Etiquette. Because of your etiquette, you get a +10 bonus on interaction skill tests. Now, in Dark Heresy, do they group the skills by abilities? Like, you've got interaction skills, movement skills. I don't think they do.
I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Any interaction skills, you need a +10 bonus. So, I mean, it's pretty apparent what those are. Interaction would be...
Tie my shoe. Oh, under the table.
Barter, blather, charm, command...
And resting my head on the table at the same time.
Deceive, intimidate. Looks like that's it.
Hey, do you want a game next Tuesday night?
But you only get that when dealing with high authority and informal situations.
Okay. Why?
Legacy of wealth. +1 to the group's starting profit factor. Woohoo! We're up to 21.
21 what?
Profit factor.
Oh, hey!
Because we have a noble with us, we get +1 profit.
Excellent. Bolt pistol. Here we come.
Actually, did we get any other bonuses with you?
Not with me. I'm an arch mutant.
I don't think I added.
Are you not going up there for the Thinks Gaming thing?
I doubt it.
Dude, you went last time. Somebody's got to go with me.
I may go. I just take a man in black.
I'm running 316.
You're running 316?
Yeah. You are supremely connected. You've got extensive connections. You know how to drop the right names.
He's like the prostitute on Firefly.
There you go.
You have the talent. Peer nobility. You may also select one additional peer from the following list: academics, adeptus mechanicus, administratum, astropaths, ecclesiastic.
He can't answer that on a podcast.
Mercantile, military, and underworld.
He can't answer that on a podcast, dude.
This is Andy.
No, he means duck sauce.
Okay, new policy. Everybody puts their phones on vibrate.
Hey, whatever you do in your own time is up to you, okay?
You have a nickname yet?
No, I need a nickname.
Big Bear?
Well, don't you have
I like Little Bear better.
Pumpkin Sitter.
Pumpkin Sitter.
Love you. Bye.
Anybody get change for 20?
No. Is this pay to play?
Yeah, that's right. Now my son lost a tooth.
So
I started out when my daughter lost her tooth. I started putting fives for the
I
tooth.
Made that mistake. Yeah. I wish I had. That was a bad mistake.
And the worst thing is a couple times I forgot. And they're like, oh, the tooth fairy forgot. And I couldn't find the money. And, of course, they couldn't find the tooth either. So I'm like, hey, well, let's go look, you know. And I'm like palming the $5 off the side of the bed. Right there it is, hon. You know?
Well, $5.
So when they listen to this, they know that they...
Oh, no! I got to edit that out.
I'm sure they won't listen to it until after they
Yeah, that's not a trade.
Your childhood like dreams like have been crushed.
You can trade your teeth in for five. There'd be a lot of toothless.
Well, don't the orcs do that?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, so you got the second peer, academics, adeptus mechanicus, administratum, astropaths, ecclesiarchy, government, mercantile, military, or underworld.
Okay, I took military.
Okay. And peer basically. Adept with dealing with a particular social group or organization, plus 10 bonus to all fellowship tests when interacting with the chosen group.
Okay. Can I name my guy up front?
No, there's a table for that.
You have a vendetta, sworn enemies. The details of these enemies are left to the player and the game master to define, working together. So let's think about that as you're going through the origin path, who your enemies are.
So can we use our character's real names, or do we have nicknames for them?
You can do both.
Okay.
Your character's going to be T-Bone?
T-Bone the missionary?
He's one of those, you know, inner-city youth missionaries.
He doesn't have low
gonna do. He's going to do like an after-school basketball team on the ship.
I don't have low goblin.
He doesn't have low goblin. He can't take it to the streets.
He's like the upper-crust liberal guy coming into the inner city.
Hi, I am hip.
Hello, homeboy.
Toss me the rock, and I will jam that goal.
You know, my favorite homeboy is
the emperor.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. The emperor is my homeboy. All right, starting wounds. Double your toughness bonus and add 1d5.
I was thinking a shirt. My boss was the leader of the Great Crusades.
I'll just figure that out. Okay. Double toughness.
Oh, you don't have that yet. All right, so yeah, everybody's got the same there.
My boss was betrayed by horse.
Your fate wounds roll 1d10.
4.
1.
1.
No, no. 2.
2.
No. 3.
3.
3 fate points.
What?
Your guy just sucks.
Apparently, I have 2.
Okay.
Alright, so, next is your birthright. So this is, in the 41st millennium, life in the Imperium often follows a set course. From birth to death, most Imperial citizens follow an immovable path towards their fate. However, some rare few are able to rise beyond their beginnings, however humble.
Okay, well, unless we have anybody that's Death World, Voidborn, or Forge World, nobody's ever going to interact with my character.
You're not allowed to interact?
Well, no, you will during game, but unless you're to the left of my guy,
nope.
You're never going to cross it.
No.
Yeah, he never will. Chris never will.
Neither of them will.
You're in Imperial World.
And he's going to Missionary.
Yeah,
he's not going to
get
cross.
Left.
There's no way he can do it.
He can't do it. Can't.
Does anybody have to?
Yeah, it's just nice for a character.
Hey, you
background.
Two, I know this guy.
He's got this lizard on his shoulder.
Well, you ran. Actually, it doesn't matter. You ran into the rogue trader.
Yeah.
I forget where you crossed him. He and I were on the crusade together.
Well, then I wouldn't run into him either.
I don't think
he would have been from the Forge World if he worked for you.
He was a Forge World.
He was. I don't remember. Imperial World versus Crusade. Was it a crusade?
Yeah, you and him were in the crusades together.
Maybe it wouldn't. Maybe the name wasn't crusade.
It was zealot.
Yeah, zealot. Savant and zealot. So he was here.
Oh, he had to have been from
and
the Forge World.
He went to rogue trader.
Yeah,
but he didn't start on the Forge World. He must have started over here somewhere. So he never ran into you either.
That's right. I'm a mystery.
I recommended you.
Wrapped inside a riddle.
I know that guy.
Covered with secret sauce.
What are you guys thinking about there?
I think it's a mystery.
Not about my guy.
Oh,
I pretty much have to get Spawn to go to the further ones I want, because I want duty bound.
Yep. There we go. Okay. Well, I am in starting Imperial World.
I was a savant, so there's an opportunity for our two characters to have been a savant together.
Okay.
That's sweet.
Maybe.
Don't say that.
That's good.
you being a void-born noble, maybe at, in your early adulthood you came to my hive world and studied there, or maybe I left, well, maybe I left a hive world and met you somewhere.
Okay. Like,
but it's basically scholarly stuff. Scholarly apprenticeship. The effect, or maybe we exchanged...
this segment of podcast is brought to you by Budweiser, effect, King of Beers.
You gain your choice
okay.
of logic as a trained basic skill or
that's lame,
the
don't do
peer
it.
Academic talent.
Do that one.
You also gain your choice of +3 intelligence or +3 fellowship, but you suffer -3 toughness.
Regardless. He's a little puny.
Okay, so what was it? Peer...
Short, peer academic
or
logic.
I'll take peer academic.
Logic is a trained basic skill.
I mean, I just...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how...
I don't know how logic...
Exactly. I mean, how often logic... Is logic be, is if I can solve problems, decipher puzzles.
Or like ship maneuvers and things like that. I mean, is there any kind of strange application that anybody can think
a
of?
A logic test might infer the missing symbol in a series or to solve a particularly troublesome mathematical equation.
See, I call shenanigans on that anyway, because if it's... I mean, we do mostly character-driven role-playing games... I don't think you should be able to solve the puzzle with a skill roll. I mean, if there's a puzzle like that, make the player solve it.
Well, it depends on how smart the players are.
Well, I mean...
As a GM,
yeah, I was going to say, but look who's running.
I need a roll sometimes.
I mean, I couldn't solve it, but...
So, yeah, it's probably not going to be used that.
Okay, I'll go up here academic.
Intelligence and charisma are two that I need.
+3 to either intelligence or fellowship.
Okay, +3 to intelligence.
Oh, I'm sorry, charisma's not in this one. Sorry.
It would be fellowship.
Fellowship.
Well, I'll take logic because academic doesn't really fit either. So as a trained basic.
Yeah, as a trained basic skill, yes.
Academic.
I don't know if you're trained in it, I don't know why.
Yeah, as I say, basic. I okay, whatever.
And Chris, Oz, what do you
think?
T-Bone. What's Chaga just creating?
T-Bone, duck sauce, flounder.
Oh, duck sauce.
Dude, duck sauce. And what was mine? We said it.
Pumpkin syrup.
No.
Little bear.
Little bear.
Little bear.
That's right.
That's just...
It's pending. It might change.
Episode 1 might.
What, have you shaved?
Do you? I shaved today, actually. On the sides.
Okay, so Imperial World, what's Children of the...
Corn.
Creed.
It was a very bad horror movie.
I never saw it.
It was not until comparatively late in your youth that you set foot in a room in which the stern gaze of the God Emperor was absent. And during your impressionable years, you were shielded by the enfolding arms of the Ministerium. For much of the hardship and uncertainty so many must endure. The unyielding vision of his statues was as much a part of your upbringing as the zealous, pure faith of those closest to you. You're very much into the church and the worship of the Emperor.
You gotta do that.
Fuck yeah.
You gain the unshakable faith talent.
Sorry. Unshakable.
Unshakable faith talent. And either +3 willpower or +3 fellowship, but you suffer a -3 weapon skill. And
I would take +3 fellowship.
You guys might just track your path right quick so you remember it.
Can we have a pen? Oh, you wanted to, didn't you?
Well, let's...
Yeah, I'll do it.
Let's go all the way through. I can give you a scrap sheet of paper and you can write it down. But just make sure...
Oh, okay.
Before you. We...
Imperial World, right on the Child of the Creed. The Creed.
Do you want me to put player names or character names at the bottom of this?
Over on the side.
Do a color-coded thing?
You make a mark in the color, and then you write the character's name.
And you don't have to use nicknames.
And above it, you write key or legend.
I'm not going to do that.
Preferably in a sans serif font, about 12 point.
Alright.
Don't serif.
You have a problem with serifs?
I hate all serifs. Alright. So the next is the lure of the void.
Lure of the void.
You know, what kind of sent you out as an adventurer? Chris, it sounds like you are pretty deterministic on where you're going. We need the sheet. They need the sheet.
I'm doing the legend key thing.
You gotta wait till it's final.
You know what? You told me to do it, so I'm doing it. It's too late.
I'm pretty sure duty bound.
Duty bound?
He said duty.
Duty bound is zealot.
But don't hand it off. That was tricky.
Okay, so you're going noble to savant, duty bound.
Duty bound.
Duty.
And then I...
Yeah, you don't have to. You could go shiplorn and still make void mask.
Yeah, and
I'm sorry.
No, shiplorn is under...
You could go zealot and still make the void mask.
But so duty, bound are, duty bound fits a little bit.
All right. Duty bound. Choose one of the following results and apply it to your character. Duty to the throne. You gain +3 willpower, and if you meet the willpower 40 prerequisite, track that, the armor of contempt talent. You suffer -10 penalty to interaction skill tests when dealing with any source outside the Imperium. Aliens and traitors.
That's what we're going to be doing the whole time.
Another choice is duty to humanity. You gain the choice of +3 perception or +3 intelligence. You suffer -1 to your group's beginning profit factor.
Dude, don't screw us like that.
It's not that big a deal.
You don't know.
Duty to the dynasty.
I want my ball pistol.
You gain the rival rogue trader family.
Oh, that's cool.
Talent. You suffer -3 toughness. You gain a bonus of +1 to your group's beginning profit factor.
And that's
not only do we get a cool benefit from it.
Profit factor is it's a stat like anything else. It's a percentile rogue. When you're losing one, gaining one, it's a 1 percentile move. It's not a lot. So I wouldn't worry about it.
Because duty to dynasty sounds right because of the family thing.
Yeah.
Did you say duty to dentistry?
Yes.
Awesome.
So here you go. So now, I mean, because we were looking for an enemy to your noble family too. And now you've got a rival rogue trader family we'll have to flesh out. So it could be an enemy within that rivalry.
Okay.
And you get a -3 toughness.
Another one? Ooh.
Yeah.
No.
Well, this is just for duty bound.
No, it's just I got -3 from last.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah.
You're getting weaker.
Yeah.
Feel your lifeblood escape.
It's not... It's not the lack of toughness. He's very graceful from his nobility.
Dude, if he looks like Eldar, I'm gonna...
He has men who are tough for him.
Wow. Was it -3 to toughness and what else?
-3 toughness, you gain +1 to your group's beginning profit factor.
+2 profit.
You like all that scroll work on the bottom, don't you?
You gain the fate. Rival
it's cause it's
rogue trader
Black
family.
Blackjack Onyx whatever talent. Captain guy.
And we'll flesh out that family.
Sure, okay. I didn't strip it and repaint it, but I just kind of touched it up and added to it.
I have a list of families.
Oh, Blackjack. Well, I like Blackjack.
Can you call Blackjack?
No, because the Rogue Trader's character
rogue
name
trader
is Blackjack.
Who is a rival.
Dude, you want to be T-Bone for years.
You.
Now's your chance.
See specifically what it says under
I need a name.
Rival.
Coco, no. I'm sorry, what?
Huh? Little Bears.
That'd be... I don't know about Little Bears.
Oh, it's a rival? So it's kind of like peer. Academics, Adeptus Sororitas, etc. Essentially the opposite of peer. This talent represents aggressive competition and some animosity with a particular social group or organization. The explorer suffers a -10 penalty to all fellowship tests when interacting with the group in question. So I wonder if that is... I guess that's all. A particular rogue trader family.
Dude, you should totally make that gnomes.
Or
the chance of running into gnomes.
No.
Dude, ratlings.
I think, yeah. A rival rogue trader family.
Okay. See, you gotta do that because that's just a cool plot device.
Yeah.
Now, I want the, I actually want the rattling manservant guy. Because I want that little figure with the...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. The guy with the tray, right?
No, it was one of the ones with the sniper guy. Uh-oh. The one that has the... It looks like the Eldar Scout, only he's that tall.
Right.
I think he's cool.
Alright. You're Lure of the Void, Oz?
I am.
Oz T-Bone?
T-Bone.
T-Bone.
I am going to do duty bound as well.
Ostebonius.
Bonius.
Osmandius Tibonius.
And I'm doing duty to the crown.
To the throne?
Throne, crown, whatever.
Do you have a willpower of 40?
I have a willpower of 34 right now.
Then you don't get the super armor of the emperor.
Yeah. So you gain +3 willpower, but you don't get the armor of contempt.
That's too bad. In a way, you kind of failed.
I failed anything.
Armor of contempt.
He doesn't have willpower 40.
Whenever the explorer gains corruption points, reduce the total by 1 to a minimum of 0.
Who cares about corruption points?
Yeah. You suffer a -10 penalty to interaction skill tests when dealing with any source outside of the Imperium. For example, aliens and traitors.
For example, everything we're going to be doing.
You know what?
Somebody pointed out.
Cool.
188.
Mm-hmm.
Tau ships attacking them.
Pretty sure there came out some Tau ships for about the Gothic.
Yeah, Forge World.
But they're not in the book. The Kroot are in the book.
Okay.
And they mention the Tau in respect of the Kroot.
Here, I want to drive for a minute. No, let me do it. No. Let me do the next one.
You don't know what you're doing.
All right, what are we doing?
You're going to mess it all up.
Uh-uh.
Okay, we're on Trials and Travails.
Trials and Travails. Okay, let's go. Where are you at?
What is Ship Lorn?
Ship Lorn.
What is Calamity?
You were in love with a ship.
For those who ply the void, there are few things that provoke as much fear in them as to be robbed of their starship, to have the very crux of their identity cruelly taken from them by sudden destruction or betrayal. Dude, you can't do that one. Whether by shipwreck, enemy action, or darker reasons such as mutiny or deliberate abandonment, there are few more terrible fates for an explorer than to have been a castaway without help, either on a strange world or, worse yet, lost in the icy grip of the cold stars. It takes a remarkable individual to... blah, blah, blah. Against all odds, you gain the survival skill. Whenever you spend a fate point to recover wounds, you may re-roll the die if you wish. And you're ill-starred. Reduce your starting number of fate points permanently by -1.
That's not sound so good.
Additionally, suffer -5 on fellowship tests when interacting with void-born rogue traders and other voidfarers who are not personal friends.
Okay, what's...
Dark Voyage?
Dark Voyage or...
Dude, you gotta do Dark Voyage. Things man was not meant to know. You may gain a single forbidden lore skill pertaining to your experiences, or you may gain the resistance fear talent. You also are marked by darkness, haunted by your experiences.
Okay, can you have forbidden lore if you're from an imperial world?
Yeah, yeah, it's just whenever you do a forbidden lore thing, you're just at a minus to the roll.
Yeah, got so it. Is this giving you plus to forbidden lore?
No, but it's giving him a free forbidden lore skill. Oh, okay. Or you can skip it altogether and take the resist fear talent instead.
So I'll take the resist fear talent.
That's probably good.
That's awesome. Okay. So resist fear talent.
That's Dark Voyage.
Dark Voyage. You want me to read it?
Dark Voyage.
Starport taverns and station galleys are filled with travelers, wanderers, and old starfarers. Sooner or later, when the lumen globes have dimmed, these folks will tell of the many strange legends they have heard. They tell of hell hulks, crewed by the lost, and warp storms that howl with mocking voices. Of the things that claw and scratch at the hull, waiting for the merest flicker of the Geller field for the warp to pour in and devour all, and of horrifying Xenos encounters and voyages of the damned. But you have no taste for such stories, because you know the truth. You have lived them. Mm. Give me a D5.
D5?
D5, baby.
I'm gonna do a D10 and just a habit.
Yeah, it's...
You can just subtract 5.
How about 5?
Hell yeah. Lose 5 insanity points.
I don't have 5 insanity points.
Marked by darkness.
You gain 5 insanity points.
Haunted by your experiences, you gain 5 insanity points. But that's really cool, because you're kind of the street preacher that talks to himself.
So, did you guys read about what happened in our Dark Heresy game when they killed half the town? You remember that? You went to the town where they were building the church? Here. They kill.
We've now segued into a recap of a Dark Heresy game that we played last.
They get attacked by Seth the Voice's followers, right? So they're Phelps is trying to pop off a psychic power. Well, he rolls a 9. So he does the psychic phenomena test, and he rolls high.
Like a
94. So he goes to Perils of the Warp, and he rolls, and he's like, oh, it's like 98. I'm like, oh, shit, it's game over. He's like, no, it's 92 or something. And it was loss of gravity. So it's like for D99 yards, we'll roll. He rolls 99 yards. So gravity is gone in the entire freaking town. So I should have kept it secret. I should have kept the height secret, but I haven't rolled for height. It was 18 meters. So everybody, when they fall, they're taking 1d10 plus 13 damage. So
normal, like, NPCs are going to die.
It's unsurvivable. You know, I said, like, the fall just killed half the town. So they're starting to float up in the air. Phelps, he does another psychic power, and he pushes himself. He can fly. So he floats back down to the ground and grabs hold of something. Well, Chris Miller, he's trying to do some psychic power to maneuver himself over something soft. He rolls a 9. So he rolls psychic phenomena. It goes to Perils of the Warp. He rolls it again. He rolls like 89.
No, it was a 90-something.
His mass possession. So now everybody's floating in the air. Demons come out. They start possessing everybody. You make a willpower test. Every time you fail, you pick up like D5 corruption points. And it's going on for like 15 turns.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
So everybody's, they're all waiting for the drop. And when they drop, they take their damage and they all scatter trying to get away from the source of this corruption. So half the town is dead. Everybody who survived picked up corruption points. Based on average, I said half of them are mutated now. They're sort of sprout extra.
Wait, and those who didn't die instantly from the fall are at least crippled and maimed for the rest of life. It really disappoints me that neither of you knew this story because it was on my blog.
I had a chance to read that story yet.
Which you cut and pasted from my post to the mailing list.
But I put in there that I cut and pasted.
Well, I know, but they didn't read either one.
You just got demoted on Monster the Minion Master. Okay, Flounder, where are you?
Calamity, maybe? I don't
know. Calamity. You get inured to adversity. You gain the light sleeper talent and your choice of either hardy or nerves of steel. And you also, thanks to the adversities of the past, and needs of the group, you reduce your group's starting profit factor by -1.
Yeah, okay.
Which, as Andy said, there's really no big deal.
Yeah, I know.
But we need a high profit factor.
He'd still be net plus one.
Yeah. Is he net plus two right now?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Or, what else do you have?
Shiplorn. But that Shiplorn and Calamity is the only choice that I got.
Shiplorn is against all odds. You get survival skill or dark soul talent. Whenever you spend a fate point, you can re-roll. Your fate points are permanently reduced by -1. And you get -5.
Doesn't sound bad.
-5 on fellowship tests when interacting with other crews. It says rogue traders, voidborn, blah, 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 who are not personal friends. So obviously your party will be fine. But that might work in because, you've got the rival rogue trader crew anyway.
Yeah. That's gross. Please don't do that. Thank you.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. What? Somebody just stuck a pen up their nose. On this.
What? Whatever.
Okay.
You just make stuff up for the podcast.
That's right.
Maybe I'd say Shiplorn. That was the one where if you're left without your ship, you don't like it, blah, blah, blah. Calamity is...
is that the effect?
Yeah, against all odds.
I think flavor-wise, you were left without a ship.
Right. Flavor-wise.
And Calamity is, flavor-wise, as opposed to mean what?
Flavor-wise, when reaching out beyond the relative safety of the Imperium, one of the great, often underestimated dangers is disaster. Whether it affects an isolated colony outpost or affects a star vessel suddenly robbed of its supplies by circumstance or sabotage, famine, plague, and other unlooked-for disasters kill the weak and can make death a mercy. They often destroy the thin veneer of civilization, worn by many, revealing both the worst and best in humanity. You've seen all this and more, and perhaps were forced into desperate measures in order to survive or remain true to your honor. Regardless, you hold no illusions about what others are capable of in extreme circumstances. You have learned the hard way that sometimes a bolt shell is worth a Lord Commander's ransom,
and that a starving man cannot eat gold, no matter how much he has grasped.
Okay. Well, technically, you can.
You can eat gold. It'll kill you.
Will it? I don't think it'll kill you. It'll hurt. Just be hard to pass.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I'll take
shipboard. Let's go after the lobby.
Okay, so you get against all odds. Okay. Do you already have the survival skill?
No.
Okay, you can either get the survival skill or the dark soul talent.
And the dark soul talent is what we roll.
I don't know, because that's additional. Okay. Hold on, I'll tell you. Dark soul. Take half the penalty on malignancy tests.
That's the corruption tests. Mm. To see if you gain a physical effect or... time you get 10 corruption points.
I'll take survival.
Oh, actually, no. Malignancy test. Malignancy test is the fear test that gives corruption points if you fail. Huh. So,
that's okay, I'll take Dark Soul.
Okay, Dark Soul talent. Also...
Dark Soul!
Whenever... Whenever
really
you
like R&B.
I don't know how you want to put this. Whenever you spend a fate point to recover wounds, you may re-roll the die if you wish, but you must accept the second result, even if lower. Basically, you get a re-roll on your fate point thing.
Okay.
And the other one is ill starred. Stars starred.
Starred.
I didn't think that's a word.
Okay.
Ill starred. Reduce your starting number of fate points permanently by one. Additionally, you suffer -5 on fellowship tests with interactions of other crews.
What's the bonus? Is there a bonus to that?
No.
Wow. It just hoses you.
Yeah, they have heard of your background and reputation.
You got a shot.
It's good.
It's a good dip, isn't it?
Damn good dip.
I'm sorry.
I prefer that's skull myself.
Wow. So, let's go back to T-Bone. Where are you after that? This is our motivation. When brave souls take their first steps into the void, what they hope to find is less important than the why. Whether motivated by burning ambition, greed, or vengeance, there is always a compelling reason that someone leaves his home and ventures forth into the unknown. What do you got there, T-Bone?
Oh, no.
Wow. What are your options?
My options are...
Remember, you're getting near the bottom of the sheet, so you got to get to missionary at one point.
Renown or pride?
Renown. You gain your choice of heir of authority or peer talent. Pride. You gain an heirloom item.
No.
Or +3 toughness.
That's right. I picked up the symbol. The ancient symbol, was it?
I don't know.
Turn the page and look. There's a chart of what the heirloom items are.
You got the ancestral seal.
Yeah.
This is pretty cool, dude. If you roll high, you can get some pretty sweet stuff. Especially the 61 through 80. Or the 01 through 20.
I'll go pride.
Okay. So, above all else, you want respect. Oh, you just want to roll. You don't care about the fluff.
Oh, I'll get respect.
You gain an heirloom item. Give me a percentile. It's all good.
First. 15.
Archaeotech Laz Pistol. A weapon of unknown origin and great antiquity. You gain one best craftsmanship Archaeotech Laz Pistol. That whole best craftsmanship thing, that's big deal. He got a best.
Cool.
He got a 10,000-year-old Laz Pistol.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's one of the...
It actually says Sony on the side of it.
That's one of the things you can do as a rogue trader. You know, you go out and you find
the eye pistol.
Lost worlds.
Yeah,
you raid their Archaeotech.
Yeah, that's cool.
Not only can I shoot with it, it rates every shot for me.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Flounder, where are you at?
Vengeance.
Vengeance. You gain the hatred, and you pick which hatred talent. Is that it? Is that your only option?
Yeah.
Vengeance burns within your heart, flaming afresh in your veins each time you wake from dreams of knives and murder. You seek revenge against those who have wronged you. That desire gnaws at you, haunts your sleep, and shadows your every action.
all must toil to live. But with each step you take, you ask yourself, is this a step closer to my revenge? The need rides you, and it will do so until the day you stand above the bloody corpses of the last of your enemies.
Can I say that I would have been much more effective if the improv jazz was...
Damn it. All right, yeah, you gain hatred something.
And you have to scream a lot.
Con!
Screaming.
Con!
Screaming with vengeance.
No.
Okay, you gain...
Screaming!
You gain plus 10 bonus. To attack. Dude, anytime you quote Judas Priest during episode zero, that's the best. Okay, attack hated creatures. Your hated creatures. Here's your thing. Oh, you can specifically name the rogue trader that is your rival. You can also pick criminals, pirates, a specific Xeno, psychers, or mutants. But it says rogue trader specific.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Pirates might not.
Well, you have an undefined enemy right now, and a rival rogue trader house.
So define your enemy by naming the rogue trader house as your hated enemy.
Yeah, it becomes full
circle there.
Right. Dude, it totally. Awesome. We'll put that in the show notes.
It's the circle of hate.
Well, gentlemen, this is when it gets down to go time. You guys are now career rogue traders.
Alright, well, so both of you, go through your career for me, and just kind of fluff it up a little bit, let me know kind of what's going on. Just, you know, real loose.
Andy wants you to be fluffers.
Well,
hand me the...
Why? We need to do something. Are we going to do the rest of it again?
Think now?
Void Master, or whatever.
Oh, you do your career?
Yeah.
I didn't realize, career, you know, see, this is why I should do it.
That's why I was hanging
it
off.
Hanging.
I didn't leave him hanging, it's just, they need to talk through their origin path, and now their career.
What was my motivation?
Same as Andy's.
Who?
High Vengeance was my
motivation. Andy who? Mean Duck Sauce?
Same as Duck Sauce.
What was Duck Sauce's motivation?
Pride.
Pride.
Did you roll for your heirloom item?
Yes. Yeah, he got the 10,000-year-old Sony high pistol.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, wait, tell me your paths, guys. Where'd you start at?
Little lane art.
No one.
Well, wait, let's get the career, and then they can... I want them to go.
You got to give me something to do.
Well, after their career, we'll go through it because I want to get it on the recording.
You want the?
I don't need to see the picture to know my career.
Weapon craftsmanship, best a work of art as much as a weapon. These items are created by skilled artisans and are often centuries old. Ranged weapons of best craftsmanship never suffer from jamming or overheating. If a roll would result in either of these occurrences, simply count it as a miss instead. Melee weapons, okay, you can get that. Gives you plus 10 bonus to test made to attack and plus 1 to the damage they inflict. So not bad.
Good.
And then, you know,
my eye pistol works fine.
Yeah. All right. Career paths.
Scripts. Well, Founder, you really did have to come across the board, didn't you?
I did.
And the flesh be damned.
Alright, so...
Give me your track.
Rogue Trader, Arch Militant, Astropath, Explorator, Missionary.
Missionary.
Alright. Your starting skills...
I don't have my character sheet.
Oh.
Hold on.
Little Bear wants it to draw on.
Dude, you didn't even write it down. You put duty of the throne, not duty bound.
You can, that's what it is. That's an important distinction.
Do I not get a pretty color?
You are. I'm just doing notes real quick. Jeez.
He's blue lining.
I am blue lining it.
Better than red lining it.
Okay, so when you close this, do you turn it upside down? It looks like you've got air gaps.
Oh, man, don't say that. Does it still sound liquidy?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. I do turn it upside down to form a seal.
Yeah, you could.
At this point, we're talking about the Polyshades Minwax Black Tudor Stain.
So 360. Mm-hmm. So, missionary. Starting skills, talents, and gear. Starting skills, so these start trained.
Okay.
Common Lore, Imperial Creed, and Imperium.
And Remorseful.
So I...
That's okay. Two different skills.
Yes.
Forbidden Lore, Heresy. Okay. Medicaid.
Ooh. Yeah, it's really not that exciting.
Right, you're the cleric.
No, that's really not.
You're the cleric.
Ooh, Medicaid.
Scholastic Lore, Imperial Creed.
You have any love that book?
Okay. Basic Weapon Train... Oh, I'm sorry. Speak Language. High Gothic and Low Gothic, both.
I know the street language, Daddy, yeah.
I bet Low Gothic is
common.
Starting for every guy. Now you're starting talents. You've got basic weapon training, universal. And melee weapon training, universal.
And what that means, unlike Dark Heresy, you don't have to take a skill for each bolt, las, whatever. You take, and once you have basic, you do all
you
basic.
You've got all the basic weapons.
I can fire whatever kind of gun I want.
As long as it's basic.
Awesome. The other talents are pure faith.
Pure faith. Sweet.
And unshakable faith.
I don't know what that means.
He already got that.
Right, well, some of this stuff doubles up. You can re-roll failed fear tests, and you are immune to demonic presence.
Nice.
Okay, starting gear.
Ooh, good gear. Yeah.
You have a good craftsmanship chain sword or a best craftsmanship staff. Staff would give you plus 10 to your weapon skill.
I'll take the staff.
Plus your figure already has a big book on a staff.
Although I imagine the staff does not do as much damage. It's just a guess.
When you're in the missionary position.
He took a hit on his weapon skill earlier anyway. Staff. See, doesn't this look cool? Look at that.
That's nice.
Melee weapons, chain sword does 1d10 plus 2 rending, but it's also tearing, which is pretty good. Staff 1d10. That's still not bad. It's balanced, so it's primitive. Yeah, so you get 1d10 plus 1, but against armor, the armor's gonna be doubled, so right. You still got the last piece. You get a good craftsmanship flamer or best craftsmanship las gun.
Oh, you got a best craftsmanship las gun.
No, you got a best craftsmanship las pistol.
And a best craftsmanship las gun.
Yeah, do that. It's the double best craftsmanship las whammy.
They're a matching.
I think player. I want that flamer.
Dude! Well, I guess if you're a missionary.
You know what? It's going to be pretty easy for you to pick up a flamer with your just straight pocket. If you just want a regular flamer.
I go with the best craftsmanship.
Yeah, so. Basically, in order to buy something, you roll percentile value against your profit factor, which I think is 22 right now.
Just the way that money was a DC check and a D20 model.
Yeah. So you want a regular flamer. I don't know what that is offhand on availability. Flame weapons, a hand flamer is rare. So, rare, we're looking at minus 10. Your scale, since it's negligible, is going to be plus 30. So, plus minus 10 is plus 20. Your craftsmanship, common. So, you know, you roll, you get a 42 or less, you find it.
Okay.
You don't, you know, we go somewhere else, you try again. So you got a pretty good chance of just picking that up on your own.
I want everybody on board to have a vault.
So here you go. So your scale, you negligible, single man. Trivial, a squad. Minor, a platoon. Standard, plus a zero modifier. Yeah. Company.
That's crazy. That's awesome. We can major, have a company of power axes.
Major, well, a company of men. Hire.
Oh, we got the barracks. We got
them. And then give them power axes.
There you go.
Major acquisition cool. scale, minus 10, a regiment of 50 to 100.
I'm telling you, significant. And everybody on board, ball pistol. All 300,000 of them.
Yeah.
30,000.
Significant, minus 20. So, I mean, there's a chance we could do this. A entire division.
Jeez, that's all the troops on board.
2,000 to 5,000 soldiers. Bast, minus 30, an army.
Do I need to announce on the podcast? 10,000 plus. John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or does John need a nickname?
I think it just got one.
John. I'm going to visit John. Pull out my penis.
Hey, John.
I'm going to flag this as adult.
Go look for that pumpkin.
Oh, he actually gets he gets the best craftsmanship.
Let me our show symbol.
Hey, dirty, rusty pumpkin. He also gets best craftsmanship guard flak armor, ecclesiarchal robes, an aquila.
Who are you talking to? He's out of the room.
A sepulcher, a censer,
we're not writing this
incense,
down.
And microbead. I'm just telling you, you know, so you can be jealous about
it. I saw a video of some
microbead. Man, navigator,
China.
Void master.
Not Chinese, just Asian.
Void master?
Yes.
Your starting skills.
Do you have a figure for your void master?
Dude, I've got it.
I just painted common lore, imperial navy, and war.
You look just war. Like Prince Adam from It's awesome.
There you go.
I have, that's me, Prince Adam.
Hi, I'm Prince Adam. Do you think that'll work for void master?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Imperial Navy and military, is that what you said?
Imperial Navy and war. Yeah, I saw that picture from you.
I was pretty happy with that. And I went ahead and named our ship without consulting the group. So it's named the Void Dragon. So that's why I put dragons on his shoulders.
That's Void Dragons on Eldar Pirates.
Well, I know, but that's, we took it back from the Eldar.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And we get the train. Right?
Yes. You have the Forbidden Lore Xenos.
Hey, T-Bone, are you getting a... Oh, it looks like you're getting a nice pamplemousse.
I'm going to ask for a pamplemousse. Yes, what pamplemousse are these?
Mine. Yours. Bring me one, please. Ours.
Ours.
Next is Navigation Stellar.
It's really good.
This portion of Minions of the Monster Master is brought to you by Pamplemousse. Crack open a nice cold Pamplemousse today.
Okay. You get the pilot skill for spacecraft and flyers.
Yeah. Enjoy the flavor.
It's so smooth.
This podcast is no longer brought to you by Pamplemousse.
That was a triple head shake. That was nice. Isn't it refreshing?
It wasn't what I was expecting.
No, it's not.
It's not bad once you get
it's,
used to.
It's not bad with the most you're what it's about.
let Chris take a pull of that.
It's not that bad. It's actually good. It has no.
It's not that bad. It's actually good.
It has no calories, no fat, no sodium, no carbs, no sugar.
It's
no
water.
Protein.
It's flavored water.
It's pamplemousse.
It's pamplemousse. They wafted a grapefruit across.
A grapefruit oversaw the production of the
No water. Grapefruit were injured in making this beverage.
They were.
You get scholastic lore.
Okay.
Astromancy. And speak language Logothic.
Okay. If I get it twice, does it?
Yeah, you get it.
Well, actually, what we were doing is, if you got it twice, we went ahead and bumped it up to the trained category.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's right. Twice. That's right. Yeah. If you get it twice, bump it up.
I got speak high gothic twice. Right.
Then you have it now.
You
train
got
it.
Train.
So that's the really high gothic. Yeah.
No. No. It's basic. Then train. Low
gothic. It's basic. Train. Then 10%.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you already have it as basic?
I guess it was what I got with my.
He already had it as a basic, so now he has it at train.
Yeah, that's what this says is train.
Okay. Same thing with you.
You already had it trained.
Seriously,
you bump it up to plus 10. So I got one at plus 10, but it wasn't anything like too cool.
Seriously though, how many times are we going to be testing our high gothic speaking?
Well, you're going into unknown space, talking.
I mean, it seems like speaking high gothic is something you should do or you don't.
You're starting talents, pistol weapon training universal, melee weapon training universal.
How's that panther moose?
It's very light.
I'm going to take my pants off. It's really hot in here.
It is hot in here.
That's what I'm saying. I'm taking my pants off. Usually, is that okay?
We can't even play around the bright lights.
What do you mean? We're all naked.
Because there's no lights.
All right, I'm going to go do something about the air.
And take my pants off.
A pamplemousse will help out.
Pamplemousse gets them out of their pants every time.
Pamplemousse works every time.
That's right.
Ability. Okay, 45. You've got the nerves of steel talent. Okay. Damn. Okay. Alright, so you're starting gear.
Okay.
You have a choice. Best craftsmanship monosword or common craftsmanship power sword?
I guess best craftsmanship.
We can edit out these quiet moments, can't we?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe not with music playing.
There you go.
Okay. You have the choice. Best craftsmanship hand cannon or common craftsmanship bolt pistol.
Fucking hand cannon.
Hand cannon. Yeah. Pretty much it's... These are all family things.
You have guard flak armor. You have micro bead. I don't know what that is. I'm looking that up.
Micro bead?
Yeah.
It's a communication thing.
What is it?
I seem to remember that from books. Like Eisenhorn and stuff.
What is it?
Huh?
Micro bead.
Like some sort of communication thing?
Yeah. Short range communication device, 1 meter. Good to communicate to 1 kilometer. Alright. You have the void suit.
Void suit. Okay.
A blessed ship token.
Okay.
A rebreather.
Okay.
Either an Imperial Navy uniform or a beggar's cloak. So if you want the Navy uniform. Two bottles of Amasek.
Ooh.
Okay. A picked recorder. Okay. And a box caster.
I think I might have got two things.
Well, because you went to John before I could finish.
Yeah, you got a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
Sorry, no.
To Duck Sauce's credit, he kept talking about what all you got once you were done. Yeah.
You get a best craftsmanship guard flak armor.
Good thing, yeah.
I'm not sure what best craftsmanship does for armor.
I think that makes it the super ultra thin pamplemousse quality.
That's all I'm looking for.
You have ecclesiarchal robes.
Do I have to wear anything underneath them?
I guess not.
Sweet.
An Aquila pendant.
does it pronounce Aquila?
I don't know.
I call it Aquila.
A sepulcher.
I call it sepulture.
You actually selling.
Do you really?
A censer and incense.
I call it incense.
And a microbiad.
I do pronounce it that way.
A microbiad?
A microbead.
A microbead.
A comma in your ear. It's like
Bluetooth.
Hold on. Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Bluetooth would be Archaeotech.
Blue.
Bleh.
Tooth.
Bleh. Tooth. But I do like pamplemousse. I like
my pamplemousse with my bleh tooth.
All right.
I hate French. I like Paris.
That's an interesting background.
Yeah.
It's the foot of doom. It changes. No, not that one. This one.
Okay, so we need to figure out our ship. Do we want to adjust the ship?
Okay, so here's the thing. We actually spent a whole evening making the ship.
And I know we sent it out to the list, but you guys didn't read it.
Yeah.
I actually saw the ship.
Okay.
This is it right here. This is the ship.
I'll post the pics on the show notes.
Show notes. Basically, the only conundrum we have is if we lose 5 points of ship space, we get a better crew. Is that it?
No, it's ship points. And you're going to have to pull up that list because I did not bring our final.
Okay.
Actually, yes, I did. Oh, there's our points.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We get a free advance somewhere or anything like that.
Oh, yeah, your special ability. Sorry. Special abilities. Missionary special ability. Pure faith. You already started with that.
Whoa.
Okay. Void master special ability. Select one of the following. Mastery of space. You can reroll maneuver tests. Master of gunnery. Reroll shooting actions aboard a starship. Both all these are above the starship. Mastery of augers. The void master can reroll all failed tests involving detection aboard a starship. Mastery of small craft. The void master can reroll all failed pilot tests with small crafts. Shuttles, heavy lifters, gun cutters, starfighters, bombers, and so forth.
I'll take master of guns.
Are you sure?
Well, we can adjust it, you know. Well, after a session or two, people kind of feel like they want to change it up.
Well, I mean, the void master pretty much is the pilot.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Right. Master space.
He can be basically pilot, or I guess let's say helmsman, gunner, calmly, or science officer, I guess scanners.
Yeah.
Or pilot, fighter pilot.
That's a lot of options.
I'll go with master space.
I wasn't like, don't do it. I was just curious. I thought that's why you're being a void master was to be the pilot.
Well, yeah, but I assumed I'm not really the pilot. I'm directing the bridge.
The 250 people piloting.
Yeah, so shooting
is not me pulling the trigger. It's me directing.
These ships are heavily armored, and you've got to get, you know, 4 or 5 degrees of success before you're going to start damaging a ship with shooting. So you really got to pump it up and do some damage. See, that's the other thing, you know. In combat, you're going to have to make skill tests. So it's 30-minute rounds. 30-minute rounds. Actually, before I get into that, let's stop for a second. And both of you, give me the background for your character. Your origin path, you know, fleshed out as much as you got so far.
And while they're doing that, hand me the book with my special abilities.
I don't have an origin path.
Oh, yeah, you do. It's right here.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that origin.
Yeah, so just go through that. You know, you don't have to do super detailed, but we'll get it on the podcast, and I'll be able to refer back to it.
Robert?
Okay. Let's see. Novaborn, born into a an Imperial Navy family. Was born on an Imperial ship, raised on an Imperial ship. My family, I'm the third of my name. My family have all been captains and admirals and things like that. Savant. I was went on a series of apprenticeships on different ships, apprenticing at the different positions on the ship so that I could learn to follow my father's footsteps, learn, you know, navigation and gunnery and all that kind of good stuff. So I went through a lot of training there. Duty bound, Imperial Navy. There wasn't a lot of option. I was going to be in the Imperial Navy. Pretty much born that way. So went in the Imperial Navy. Was a talented officer. Got my own command earlier than most. On the first command of this cruiser, we were, you know, deployed on some sort of patrol in some outer rim sort of place. Ended up in running the campaign with pirates, and I lost my ship. The ship got destroyed. I survived, which.
Was that the ship Morn?
Yeah. The ship got destroyed. I survived. Against my, you know, I tried to go down with my ship, but I survived the explosions or whatever
Your first officer threw you in an escape pod.
Something along those lines.
You're fighting him.
I was.
The pirates, turns out, they were affiliated.
They were affiliated with that rogue trader family.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the vengeance thing now.
Sons of bitches must pay.
I can't serve in the Imperial Navy anymore because I've been cashiered and run out of the Navy, but I'm still an accomplished captain and pilot, so I hired on with a rogue trader to help run the ship, and hopefully in the process be able to transact my vengeance.
That's right. Alright.
Okay.
T-Bone?
Tiberius was born on an Imperial world, and at a very young age, he determined that he wanted to be, to spread the word of the Emperor. And, you know, he lived on the Imperial world for quite some time. Left because he wanted to spread the word of the Emperor, to word the Emperor off the planet. Traveled around various places. Was on board a ship that there were some cultists on board that had, you know, raised this demon.
Now, I had a recommendation here. You guys crossed the duty bound, so you could weave your stories together at this point.
I was listening to your story. I was thinking about my own story. What made you duty bound?
He was in the Imperial Navy.
Okay. So maybe I was traveling with the Imperial Navy, on an Imperial Navy ship. We met there.
What's your name? Tibonius?
Tiberius.
Okay, sorry.
Tibonius.
James Tiberius.
Okay.
You gotta write it right on there, even if we call him that forever.
Okay.
Tibonius.
Heck, I was on the same ship as he was then.
Because now you.
But what he did not see when the pirates captured that ship was that the pirates were dealing in some dark activities. I actually saw some pretty crazy shit that these pirates were doing.
Yeah, you could have been taken hostage.
Yeah. I actually saw what was going on. So I was able to escape too, eventually.
The loss of some sanity.
Dark Eldar pirates.
There you go.
They're raiders.
Yeah. So, and I was so. While aboard the ship, I was trying to. Even though these pirates had captured me, I was trying to convince them to abandon their dark ways. Oops. Are they Dark Eldar?
The pit.
No, but
that's tough them. Conversion right there.
No, they're
become Eldar.
No, they're a bunch of pirates, right? But they may be working with Eldar pirates.
There you go. I was trying to convince them to change their way. Was unable to do so, which surprised me because I had always made it convince everybody to turn to the Emperor. So that really was a blow to my ego, and I swore that moment that no man would cross my path that is not converted to the Emperor.
Or alien.
Or anything.
Nothing.
Even
like
that
though,
chair.
Even that a chair. Servo droid. Servitors, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. And now you're dead. You're so dead. And that is my story. Then I ran into him, and we joined up on the same red treasure ship together.
This one. The Void Dragon.
The Void Dragon?
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's the old one. Is that the real name of the ship, or is that a nickname for the podcast?
No, the podcast is named Monsters of Dominion Masks.
No, I'm saying that can we reveal the real name of the ship on the podcast, or does it need a nickname?
Oh, no, real, that's fine.
Void Dragon.
Because I use the salamander's decal on the hood.
We're rivals with the jets.
Well,
sharks.
Ooh, dance fighting. I get plus 10.
The dance fighting?
Yeah.
I'm highly trained.
I got a 36 agility.
I can snap.
I actually can't dance because I've got the avatar dropping moves.
Yeah.
Alright, so.
I get worse with feedback on spirit fingers.
Well, we'll see what Chris M says. But what I'm thinking is...
Yeah, I texted him. He's not replying. He's on vacation. He's not going to tell me his career path. Come on.
Well, I know. We're pretty much sure of his career path, right? He was a rogue trader. So he had to be... He's in this for prestige.
Uh-huh.
I think...
So much for the pretty sure part.
I think he took Dark Voyage.
Yeah, after that one.
We met at Zealot.
Okay.
So he's also crossing... Oz here in Dark Voyage.
You mean T-Bone?
I'm sorry, T-Bone. He was, I think, a child of the Creed.
He was a child of the Creed.
Did he start at a Forge World? He started at a Forge World.
Well, then he passed me when I was heading towards Stubjack.
Yeah, but you didn't intersect.
What? The lines cross?
I know, but you weren't in the same...
That's okay. We passed each other, like two ships in the night.
That's right.
Let me have the sheet.
No, well, hang on. I mean, let's double check.
Well, we know what he ended up as.
Right.
And we know what was right before that.
Just give me a sheet. I got it. Go off, man. Dude, you're going to mess my sheet up.
I think it's not our sheet. I think your sheet is no longer.
Yeah, I think he started...
Me sheet you.
Should he be dark blue?
You guys, maybe he began with the technical not talent, Credo on Messiah.
It's pretty dark.
It could be a disaster. Don't do it!
Well, I'm not sure, but I think he was a Forge. He started on Forge World.
Well, you know what? If he didn't, he did now.
No, just mark the career.
Okay, so he was Rogue Trader for sure.
Yeah.
All right, and there's only one option working backwards from Rogue Trader.
Right, so
that's Prestige. Just think it's cool. Anybody who's going to be an actual Rogue Trader will eventually come across Prestige.
That's what we're doing. Well, you don't have to fill the whole thing in.
Somebody else
will
come
in later.
I totally screwed that up. Man!
Ruined it!
Oh!
No, nobody else is going to be in Prestige.
Yeah. So after Prestige, he went to Dark Voyage?
I think. He definitely was a Zealot.
All right, and he was definitely a child of the Creed. Right?
I'm not sure. I think he was child. Yeah, if he was from a hive world. Yeah.
And then he was from a hive world or forge world?
Yeah. Because remember I said you were very expensive or something. I made the crack about Forge World being expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually didn't get that when you said it originally, but I get it now.
Yeah, I'm pretty
Look
sure
how I totally screwed that up. I screwed that up. Screwed it up.
Doing it, you were doing it so nicely, too.
And start over.
I think Zealot's Dark Voyage.
I think so, too.
I think he had Dark Voyage.
Dark Voyage to Prestige.
Dark Voyage.
Dark Voyage. Pamplemousse.
36 gil Jean Steel.
What are the French inventors?
Malifaux?
Hildorado?
No, it was...
AT-43?
Confrontation?
Yeah.
Lots of French miniatures.
Really? What the French? Man, they make some bitchin' miniatures.
Dude.
Very artistic.
At this point, we've transitioned to reviewing the miniatures coming from France.
We can talk about stuff.
I actually went to a gaming store when we pulled into Cannes.
Oh, really?
Cannes, however you want to say it. Just the last day we were there, I didn't have anything to do, and I was like, I went to a phone book and some. I don't know how. No, I went online.
Is you?
I went online to the Games Workshop one day and found their and I got the address, and I took buses and stuff across across town and went to a local game shop.
That's cool. It was a GW shop.
No, it was an independent, you know, retailer or whatever. But it was in
Cannes.
Frenchy bastard killed my son.
And most of the stuff in there was in English.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, when you went to Germany, it was the same way. It was a lot of English stuff, a lot of books translated and books, but they also had Die Schwarze Augen, which was this big, you know, the black eye, but they had their own miniatures, their own role-playing books.
What company was it?
I don't remember. But it wasn't anybody. It was a German company. It was all German.
Did it look good?
Yeah, you can.
But I guess you couldn't read it.
No, but the miniatures were good.
Look at that. I used
somebody
whiteout.
Here in town actually carried it. Just, now you can't read it.
Look, you can read it fine.
But the back, it's totally wrong now. It stands out because the background was kind of an eggshell. Do you have some eggshell out?
I have eggshell. No. They need to roll for their name so I can finish the legend.
All right. So we did
roll my name?
Or pick it.
Okay.
You get 500 XP to spend.
Okay.
Based on your starting career.
We get XP to spend?
Yeah.
Based on our starting career?
Yep. 500? 500.
Actually, technically it's 5,000.
No, no.
Well, your career path just covered the first 4,500 of that. Okay.
All right. So give me your character's life name.
Oh, you know what? We'll roll for my nickname out of there.
All right.
Really?
With a little bear. What, give me percentile?
Or pumpkin sitter?
We'll do red first. No, we'll do this one. 34. 30. Just read them across the board. I'll pick the one.
34. Little bear, little bear, little bear.
Wow. That is uncanny.
You want informal, right? That's your nickname.
Well, they might all be cool, though. Just read them across the line.
Jorn or Yorn?
No, Lane.
Lucius.
Kind of cool.
Godwin.
Cool.
I think we have a winner.
Kinnock.
Well, that's my real name. My character name.
And Hal.
Lucius or Godwin? What do you guys think? Lucius or Godwin?
Your nickname?
That's
awesome.
Your
nickname is not going to be that. All nicknames are food-based.
Food-based?
Flounder.
Duck sauce. T-bone.
Hummus.
Hummus. No, that's the way it rolls off the tongue.
Little bear.
I don't know. Every time I say little bear, everybody kind of gives me that look like it's
gay. That's why we give you that look. Because it's very, very gay.
Well, I didn't say, you know, outdoor rainbow bear. I'm not big and hairy.
It'd be Gira. Gira. We can argue about how to pronounce your name.
Yeah, I like it. Hero.
Hero.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Hero.
Gyro.
Gyro. Gyro. Gyro. Done. All right.
Gyro. All right. You guys want to roll for your names?
Well, he doesn't. And
yeah,
he doesn't.
I mean, I can roll if
you want. Oh, right. You're Tiberius. Okay.
Tiberius.
What is your character's name? You're Seneschal.
I am Esteban.
What color are you?
A-E-S-T-A-B-A-N.
A-E?
Yeah.
Oh, Esteban?
Yeah.
You didn't have to be real race.
That's,
Esteban.
I'm the color that ends in Seneschal.
Yeah, I figured that one out.
So you got your names.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
I don't have Flounder's name.
Horatio Valens.
We'll just do Horatio or Valens. Which one?
Horatio.
Okay. You're the one who ends in Cobalt.
Okay, so we would roll for starting profit factor and ship points. So the ship points are only to build your initial ship, right? It's kind of like money to spend, right? After you build your initial build, the ship points go away, and you build your ship via what you can acquire and things like that. The profit factor is inverse to your ship points. So you can go from a profit factor of 60 to ship points of 30. And the idea is you're kind of a young dynasty, rogue trader dynasty. You got a lot of money, a lot of capital right now, but you don't have as great a ship. All the way down to a starting profit factor of 20. But we started profit factor 30. So we're at 32. Excellent. And the ship points of 70. So
60.
70.
Oh.
That's the last one.
20. We did 60, though.
We're 30-60. The last one's 27. So the Rogue Trader Dynasty was once a great and powerful flame, but now only a glimmer of its former glory. You know, you've lost a lot of your influence and money, but you still have this great ship. And with 70 points, you can get a full-on cruiser with options.
Well, our ship right now leather is seats, awesome.
Leather bucket seats.
But we have to lose some of this.
Yeah, we do.
We'll get a cheap ship and pimp it.
Okay, so here's what we have so far in our ship. We have the Stelov 1.
Okay, not all that's on there. That was pre-finalization.
So I can give you out my stats. What is associated? Agility is for piloting, but is that really for piloting a giant starship?
Yes.
Agility?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you take it off autopilot.
Well, I mean...
You know, they're always switching to manual control.
I know, but usually it's not... It's the helmsman, you know, not the guy in charge of the helm.
Well, you're pushing him out of the seat. Damn it, get out of here. Let me get in here.
I know how to drive. Get out of here.
You low-born. Yeah, now they say anything from personal jump packs to small atmospheric craft. To void-faring fighters, bombers, and capital vessels. So,
okay.
You have to take your gloves off one finger at a time.
Ballistic skill is your shooting.
Oh, okay.
We got one more thing. Select equipment.
Bolt pistol.
May use the group's starting profit factor to make one acquisition of a single item from the Chapter 5 army with an acquisition modifier of +0. At the GM's discretion, no. He may allow each character to choose any number of items from the armory, provided they are of common availability and common craftsmanship. However, the second option is not recommended for beginning groups, as it may take up a great deal of time.
I just want a bolt pistol.
Bolt pistol. No, actually, you have to make an acquisition because it's not common availability.
It's rare.
You gotta shut them but you can, down.
But if you're just getting
you roll 32 or less, you got it.
Really? Now, if I don't get a 32, do I get the next step or whatever?
You make one acquisition of a single item from Chapter 5 Armory with an acquisition modifier of +0. I guess so. So normally... Let's look. You may want to just take the regular modifier, right?
Yeah.
So normally it's rare. That's -10. But you only want one. That's +30. So +20. 52.
Really?
52 or less, you get a bolt pistol.
Maybe I should do that for the power axe instead.
Well, you get to pick one.
What is best to give me?
+10 on your attack and +1 damage. For a weapon. For a melee weapon. For a ranged weapon, it never jams.
But I can just take a regular bolt pistol whenever.
You have to make an acquisition test.
But that's no big deal.
Well, it's 52.
Even just for a common one?
Yes, that is a common
one. Oh.
If you want to go... if you want best, -30.
Okay, yeah, I'll just do the common bolt pistol. I got a 12.
You got it.
I should have gone for best.
You would have got a best.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
Nah.
Yeah, that's what I... Nah, hey, it's our game. We do what we want.
Nah.
I'm putting best. Thanks, man.
I will also go for a bolt pistol.
At this point, Andy decided to cave to peer pressure and give one of the players a best quality bolt pistol.
Because Mick wheedled like he always does.
Who?
I mean,
Gyro!
Gyro. Gyro Bear.
Little Gyro Bear.
Little Gyro. Little Gyro.
Okay, so I would like to also get a bolt pistol.
Go for the best.
Unless I get one of those little LAS rings.
Ooh, digital laser?
Digital weapon.
Yeah, but I bet that's going to be difficult.
I bet that's either going to be Xeno or Archaeotech. You really grip that can when you drink. What are you, a Sasquatch?
It's got jump packs in it, man.
How much is a jump pack if we want to equip our whole regiment with them?
Alright, exotic weapons. It's got exotic melee. Oh, this is melee. Exotic range.
You know what's going to happen? The entire podcast will be nothing but background noise.
Yeah. It does not have digital weapons.
I saw them in there.
They're in the...
Jakiro digital weapons? I doubt it.
No, they're in Dark Heresy.
No, I saw them in there earlier.
Oh, exotic weapons.
They're in the new Space Marine Codex. Well, so, you know what, though? If it's exotic, you got to take the talent to use it.
Here's the deal. They're all extremely rare, not common, right?
That's
so instead of a 52, extremely rare...
It's going to be minus 30.
Minus 30, so he'd be rolling a 22.
I'm just looking for 1. So that's plus 30.
So actually, so minus 30,
wash out.
Plus 30, yeah, so 32.
Now I'll just get my bolt pistol.
Okay. 32 for a digital laser? That's not bad. I rolled a 12.
Bolt pistol is rare, minus 10, plus 30 because you just want 1, so 52.
I'm getting one for everybody.
And if you roll really low, you might be able to talk me into a better quality.
What, if I want to equip everybody on board with a bolt pistol?
We're not worried about that right now.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Actually, if you want everybody on board...
What would 5 bolt pistols cost? What would be the roll for that?
It'd be 42 instead of 52.
Not bad.
Yeah, and have like a rack in your room.
No, just give everybody.
No, he's got one under each arm and cross belt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's got a brace.
He looks like the Connolly from Boondock Saints.
I'm just going for 1.
It's too bad he doesn't look like Jennifer Connolly.
In a fight, you know, every time it jams, he throws one away, pulls out another
one. Oh, the John
Woo
boom, John boom, boom method.
Yeah.
No point in reloading when you just carry 12 pistols on you.
I rolled a 4.
Oh, how about a best quality bolt pistol?
I think you have to ask. Aces.
Oh, really? Are you going to go with aces on the podcast?
What? Fucking A.
Flounder, what do you want to go for here?
Is there anything that helps with... are we just looking at weapons here?
Is anything in the armor? So, any equipment,
armor?
Basically. Armor...
What kind of armor do you have already?
Guard flak.
No, you don't want that. You want best carapace.
No, dude, go for power armor.
Dude, I want power armor!
Too late!
Damn it!
Power armor...
Damn you, duck sauce!
...is very rare. So what did we say, 32?
32 for power armor. It's awesome.
32 for power armor.
Yeah, and look, your guy's already in power armor, sort of. He's got the shoulders.
You can get light power armor or power armor, both 32.
We've been knocking the rolls out of the box.
42, armored body glove. Eh, you know. It's a 20-point swing.
Armored body glove?
Really, or you can grab any common.
What do I have?
If you guys want to, after this game, if you guys want to go through and just pick common things, that's cool.
I have Enforcer Light Carapace.
So you're looking at a range from about 52 to 32.
Dude, you're going to totally roll a 4. Power armor, baby.
Dark blue.
Oh!
Power armor!
Power armor!
And you know what? It's best quality power armor.
Hell yeah!
Bitchin' power armor.
Oh, shizzle.
I needed that with a 29 toughness.
Like the bolt gun, power armor is symbolic of the Imperium. You're armor 8 everywhere.
Jeez. Jeez. That beats my armor 5 everywhere.
Essentially, a sophisticated arrangement of thick and heavy protective plates, and uses an extensive system of muscle-like, electrically motivated fiber bundles to replicate the movement of the user and augment his strength.
You probably get a plus strength. Well, he's not wearing a helmet.
Yeah, the Space Marines.
No, this is not the same.
The special black carapace implanted in Space Marines, allowing the armor to fully meld with the user. Adds plus 20 to the wearer's strength characteristic and increases his size by one step.
What?
Yeah.
What? Plus 20 strength?
Yeah. Power armor also requires a constant power supply, which must be carried by the wearer, usually as a backpack. A standard non-military power supply lasts for 1d5 hours before it needs to be replaced or recharged.
It's not that long.
You must be wearing the body, both arms, and both legs of the power armor to benefit from the strength bonus. Helmet is not required. Light armor does not increase the wearer's size and adds plus 10 to the strength characteristic.
Does he have to carry a power supply for light?
Yes. For all types of power armor, the weight of the armor does not count for calculating the wearer's normal carrying limit.
Okay.
So, basically, full power armor, plus 20, you are hulking. That's AP 8 everywhere. Light power armor, plus 10 to your strength, AP 7 everywhere.
I guess light.
And not hulking.
Right. No size on it. Let's see what it says about best quality for armor. Armor craftsmanship, best. Finely wrought and perfectly fitted, best armor is like donning a second skin.
Ooh.
Best armor weighs half the normal amount. It increases the AP by 1. Oh. So you're 8 everywhere with light.
Dude! I just got a stinking bolt gun.
Yeah.
You're not even a bolt gun, a bolt pistol.
It also lets you run twice as fast and makes you pop the little ladies.
That's right.
It's because of that double protective cob piece. It's got psychoreactive cob plate engineering.
Auto injected antibiotics.
This is for short leave.
Alright. So, now we're at our ship.
Okay, so we have a Stelov 1 warp engine. Basically what this gives us is a plus 10 to navigate through the warp, and when we have a warp travel mishap, we get to roll twice.
Well, hang on.
I really just started.
the first thing, which I may not have on there, is the plasma drive. Right, so...
Yeah, there's no plasma drive on here.
You have no choice. So, first thing we did, we selected our hull. And we chose a sword class frigate. So, it's pretty fast, speed 8, pretty maneuverable, plus 20, good detection sensors, plus 15. things that matter for this, we got 40 space. So, you know, that's our capacity, our size. It costs 40 ship points. So we're starting with 60. Boom. 40 are gone.
Wow.
Choosing the frigate. We could have gone a cruiser. Full-on cruiser. Biggest thing in here. It's 60 ship points. We wouldn't have been buying guns or anything at all. This would have been the shell.
I'm thinking that's smaller, lighter.
Well, that's what we would do with a frigate. I mean, we could go all the way down to a transport.
And really, it's too late to decide on the type of ship.
Why?
Because we've already done it.
What? So we got a frigate.
We got a frigate. It's cool.
Weapon capacity, 2 dorsal. So we can choose 2 weapons. They're dorsally mounted, so basically they fire left, right, and ahead. But we can't have a lance.
No lance.
Yeah. All right, so you roll for your ship complications. Our ship is...
You got your copy today? Where's your book?
I didn't know we were playing.
Oh.
I didn't bring it.
A nose for trouble. Something about this ship quivers at the thought of battle. Always... Oh, no.
What? No, we got that. Yeah, something about quivering ship.
No. We're skittish.
No, that's a Tyranid ship. Never mind.
Skittish.
all the...
All the bulkheads are sphincters.
The SS pumpkin stem.
The ship fears battle. Our ship fears battle. Bucking against its masters when entering the fray.
Wow.
When in combat, reduce the ship's speed by one. However, when not in danger, it runs eagerly and fast. Reduce the travel time for any long distance between stars voyage
and
from 1 to 5 weeks to a minimum of one.
Dude, we gotta have some nose art of chicks that pump.
Our ship's past history was finances.
This is why it's called the Void Dragon.
Finances in arrears. The ship was purchased with borrowed funds. The money could have come from a criminal organization, influential noble, or even a member of the Inquisition. But no matter the source, the debt must be repaid. Whenever the crew attempts to complete an endeavor's objective, which we haven't talked about, but I'll go into that, they must accumulate an additional 50 achievement points to accomplish that objective. However, the ship's financier supports his investment by providing aid and information. All crew can count on their financier as a reliable contact. Additionally, the creditor may require the crew to perform specific missions that they are in no position to refuse.
Do we have to accept that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a table you roll on it. That's what we roll. But basically, you've got a guaranteed reliable contact. All right. So you go through the ship's essential components.
Yes, we do.
The first essential component is your plasma drive.
We're in arrears.
We're still in arrears. That is not where you want to be.
As a frigate, we have no choice.
We have a Jovian pattern class 2.
It takes up 10 space, so we're down to 30 space.
Aye, aye, Captain.
And it generates 45 power, so now all the other components will consume that power.
I don't have that. But go ahead.
45 power.
If you look at that spreadsheet, it's all in there.
Oh, okay.
At the top was a formula deducting stuff.
So. Oh, yeah.
So, is that going to be in the show notes?
Yeah.
Show notes.
For our warp engines, we took the Strelov 1 warp engine.
Okay, so that's what I was going to do. Now you're just cock-blocking me.
So it consumes 10 of our 45 power, leaving us at 35.
And we get +2 navigating through the warp, and we roll twice on the warp checks.
No,
yes.
This is why I'm doing it.
No.
I'm wrong.
I'm reading your sheet. How can I be wrong? Look. +10 nav through warp, choice of 2 when rolling warp travel.
That is actually the warp's bane hull.
Wow, this spreadsheet sucks.
So we took the warp's bane hull, which gives us that. Now that took.
Can I do part of this?
2 ship points.
Oh, yeah. I have it down as 1. Oh, it's way over here.
That's power. It consumes 1 power.
Oh, yeah.
It takes up no space. It gives us... It consumes 2 of our ship points. It's expensive.
We felt the warp spain hole was kind of neat from a plot device since the Eldar formerly held the ship. Maybe that was some kind of warlock, witchlock kind of augmentation they put on the hull.
Okay.
After that, we have the single void shield array, which gives us... I don't know. This is all jacked up. +1, 50 achievement points.
No, 1. Let me see this.
Dude, it's not me. You see the confusion? The look on his face?
Hang on, I can't find it. It's
near the top.
Single void shield. Oh, right, there's nothing over there.
Right there.
It's got lines, man. Read the lines.
All right. Sorry.
So, doesn't give you anything.
Oh, yeah, there's lines right there.
5 power, 1 space. Okay.
Then we have the single void... We have the command bridge. Command bridge, we won't tell you ship or space because you guys aren't writing it down, but basically it gives us +50 achievement points towards trade objectives. Basically when we play the game, we come up with our own objectives.
Seriously, is that what it says?
Yeah. Who's running this game?
That's wrong. I looked at the wrong
thing. Nope. At this point, when Andy says that it's wrong, he's referring to the sheet that he gave me that he himself had typed up.
All command tests are at +5. All ballistic skill tests to fire shipboard weapons are +5.
No. When we took a command bridge, it was specific about trade. That's, maybe we took the commerce bridge.
No, that commerce bridge does not go on frigates.
So after the command bridge, we took
I wrote the effect for the command bridge.
Oh. Oh. You know what you should try? Sour cream donut and the sour cream dip.
It's a lot of sour cream.
That's a sour cream.
Are you scared?
I thought about it, actually.
We're minus 50.
I literally thought about it when I...
Come on, T-Bone, roll up, bitch.
Why don't you roll up, Gyro?
Dude, right. Gyro's cool. You're just jealous. You're jealous.
Heroes?
So after the command bridge, we took the Vitae Pattern Life Sustainer, and basically it does not increase the morale loss like normal air scrubbers. Basically, when you're in a big ship, the air is stale, your entire ship gets a morale negative modifier. Well, because we took the Cadillac air scrubbers, we have clean, fresh air. Sure, it takes up points, but we felt that was important. So no morale loss from the stale air.
Right, so our ship is rated on crew population.
Crew population.
We're at 100%.
100%.
And crew morale.
Crew morale.
Is 100%.
It's already 100%.
Now, with the Mark I life sustainers... Things may happen when we're in combat or whatever that cause morale loss. Every morale loss is plus one.
Got it.
When you get down to like 80, your crew starts to have negative effects to their roles and things like that. At 70, you make a mutiny test. And I think at 40 and 10, you make further mutiny tests as the morale drops.
But already we're taking care of our crew. We gave them clean air. Every member of the boarding party has a power axe.
Likewise.
Casual Fridays.
Likewise, we have the Voidsmen crew quarters. These give us... we do not decrease morale permanently again, like pressed crew quarters. We have spacious accommodations. We don't have guys sleeping four to a room in bunks the size of this table.
Hammock strung up.
Yeah. We don't have that. We have... Voidsman crew quarters. We have nice space. That's not even talking about our quarters.
Are the psychics far away from the rest of the crew?
I hope so.
I lost the last ship I was on, so I pretty much can't be real picky.
If you have a cot, you're fine.
if our ship isn't taken over by
Stevens,
then we're good.
Your demonic pirate.
Yeah, but it's cool that we have clean air and spacious rooms.
We got the auger array.
Yeah, we got a pretty nice multi-band Auspex. It helps us with objectives, maneuvering, all that. We only had two gun slots, so we took two identical Mars pattern class macro cannons. Pretty standard array. And if you'll note on our model, on these side sponsons, there's little gun ports right there. Yeah, I don't know if anybody saw that. You didn't see that. Look. You gotta look on the side. See them right there? No, top view. On the side sponsons?
What's right here?
No, that's not.
That's on these?
Yeah, look at the little gun port right there.
Pew!
That's awesome. All right.
We got turrets, man. We got turrets all up and down.
Fine, we got turrets.
Well, we got a turret rating of 2, which is good on boarding action.
It is good. We also took a compartmentalized cargo hold, right? We have big detachable cargo pods that come off the bottom, much like Legos. And that gives us bonuses when we do trade objectives. After that, we took barracks. So not only do we have spacious crew quarters, we have
troops.
Okay. We've got troops on board, and we have proper barracks to house them in. After barracks, we took augmented retro thrusters. Basically, all that does is give us more bonuses to maneuver. It's a very agile ship. Next up, again, this is more flavor text. We took an observation dome. Because, I mean, we're playing make-believe in space, right? We want an observation dome, but it gives us a bonus towards exploration objectives. Again, more fluff just because we had the space. We also took a trophy room. So we're going to have the stuffed Tyrannosaurus, the giant penny, the bat cave. The suit, Rob, the Burt Ward suit, Dick Ward, whatever. We're going to have the trophy room. And that actually gives us a bonus towards exploration, trade, and criminal objectives.
Do we have criminal objectives?
We can take him. I doubt we will.
Look at my giant penis.
Here's a... We'll roll this into you.
Lick this thing. Doesn't it take just like...
Now, this was a pretty cool one. I didn't even know these existed. We took murder servitors. So when we do a boarding action, we beam over squads of murder servitors first. Yeah. And they just fucking go crazy. So murder servitors are pretty cool. We decided to keep those. Those didn't get edited out. Those are awesome. And last but not least, this is concerns you, T-Bone. We took a specific temple shrine to the God Emperor. And that gives us bonus towards military objectives. And it gives us a bonus on damage with our guns. Our big guns, our macro batteries. Dude, it says it right there. Or is that murder servitors?
The Munitorium.
Oh, we got... The Munitorium, the munitions room, got cut and left on the editing room floor. And
the shrine. Gives us... Increases morale permanently by 3 and gives us an additional 100 achievement points toward creed objectives.
That's pretty good.
The way an objective works, you got like small, medium, large objectives.
We also got rid of the Tenebro maze, which was really cool, but we couldn't... Basically, the entire ship was made like a maze on the inside. It had holographic bulkheads, fake passages, tunnels. That way, if we ever get boarded, they can't...
I don't know where the hell they're going, yeah.
No, but then we don't either. We have to carry little maps around.
Little GPS.
Yeah. Where am I? I can't make the 4 o'clock meeting.
No, on the missions, you know, that's how you increase your profit factor, right? Yeah. You say, I want to set up a trade mission, a military mission, exploration mission. It may be worth, you know, 1 to 5+ profit factor. But it's broken out in objectives. So, like, you know, if it's a trade objective, the first thing you got to do is, you know, go out and you establish a warp route to this other planet. Well, that's the first phase. You've got to get 100 exploration achievement points to accomplish that objective. All right, so we would get, you know, +50 or +100 based on our equipment. In fact, right now we're looking at 150 because of our aus-specs, our trophy room, and our observation dome.
Yeah, right now we're stacked. We're stacked pretty heavily in a lot of mission types.
So once you establish the warp route, maybe the second objective is, you know, fighting off a competing rogue trader. It's military. We get +100 military achievement points for our barracks. Right? And then the last one might be, you know, running the trade route, which would be our, you know, +100 for our cargo hold and trophy room.
Yeah.
And then once we've accomplished all three, we get the bump in our profit factor, you know, based on how difficult all of it was.
It sounds like our starting morale is pretty high already.
Well, you start at 100.
But, I mean, we've got the observation dome, the shrine to the God Emperor, the air scrubbers.
Well, the air scrubbers just keep you from taking the negative. Okay. The regular air, every morale loss is +1.
Yeah.
And the regular quarters, you lose 1 permanent. So we got rid of that. Mm-hmm. We got a bonus for the shrine and I think the observation deck.
I think the observation deck, which I painted on here. It's the blue dome.
We're at 104.
And if you look in the very front, you can see our command bridge, the blue command bridge up front.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're at 104 right now, morale.
And if you flip that over, you'll see our Warpsbane hull with the Eldar runic stuff.
It's like a shadow vessel.
Yeah, maybe that's right. I need to get your box set. I'm thinking.
All right. Well, here's the deal, right? So, if we are in a ship encounter, it's just like regular combat, except you know you got ships on the board. Each turn is 30 minutes instead of however long regular combat is. You know, 1 second or whatever. Every turn, your ship has to do 2 things. You have to do a maneuver action, so you move either half your speed or your full speed, and you may turn up to, in our case, 90 degrees. Larger than us, it's 45. Okay, that just happens, period. All right. To do other things, you have to have players start taking action. So the pilot may make a pilot roll to... adjust our speed so he can get +1 to our speed or I think -1, or he can adjust bearing, he can try to make an additional turn, various things like that, evasive maneuvers. But he's got to pass his test to do all that. So after the maneuver, we can shoot if we want. Well, there again, one of our players has to take the ballistic test. We may want to scan the opponent's ship to find out what components he's got. If we want to make a critical hit on it, we have to have identified the components first.
Okay.
Got to have a player making that detection roll. We can bump up our crew's morale by lying to them, which is like the only thing I can do, you know, in ship combat. This is in the show. Yeah, so there's a variety of things you can do, but you've got to have players to do them.
Yeah.
If you don't have players, it drops back on your crew.
Your NPC crew.
Your NPC crew. So right now, our NPC crew, since we didn't pay any points, they're competent. They've got a skill roll of 30.
It's not very good. Yeah.
We can gain 5 more ship points for our ship if we take an incompetent crew. They've all got a skill roll of 20. I don't think we want to do that. So the question is, do we want to manage our ship a little bit to gain, to get 5 more points away to spend and bump our crew up to crack, which we've got a 40 skill, or we can go veteran, which is 50.
How much does veteran cost?
15 ship points.
I say we do the 5, sacrifice the 5, and go for crack.
All right, so what are we going to drop for 5 ship points?
Yeah, I don't know. We already edited stuff. Anything else is cool.
I know. We can drop one battery, give us 5 ship... No, that's ship points over here. Damn, that's going to hurt.
Well, that's the thing. We only have 2 guns, and we don't lose one of them.
Well, if we drop a battery, they only cost 1 ship point.
Oh, yeah. We can lose the spacious crew quarters and the really good air scrubbers.
They didn't cost any ship points.
I got ship points right here. Oh, I see. Oh, shit.
Yeah. So we can get rid of the murder servitors, the trophy room, the observation dome, the temple, and the cargo hold, and we would get the better crew.
You know what? We got an NPC crew. They're just okay.
All right.
We're done.
All right, we're good.
I said we can improve over...
There are no rules for that in here. But what I thought was, after each encounter, you know, maybe you keep a tally. And so maybe after 3 encounters, you bump up to crack. And then maybe after 4 more encounters, you bump up to veteran. And then maybe after 5 more, you go to elite. So 60 on all your skill levels.
You're the GM, man.
Here's the deal, right? You suffer crew loss. So you may drop down to 76% of your crew, 50% of your crew, which sucks for boarding actions.
Yeah.
So you've got to go refill your crew. So they got rules for that. You go to maybe an Imperial world.
We go alien.
Feral world.
Yeah.
You make an acquisition test to see if you can refill your crew.
Let's press gang some rallies.
I would say when you do that, you drop back.
Yeah, because you have to retrain them.
Yeah, one point toward comp.
That's okay. That makes sense.
Maybe you drop 1 tick for every 10% or something like that. But yeah, when you take on new crew, unless you kick ass, you can probably try for elite crew first.
But
of course, the acquisition test really sucks, so then you work your way down.
We can't take on Eldar.
Why not?
I have an Eldar problem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So T-Bone, crack open the ruffles there.
Crack open the ruffles.
Okay, Gyro don't like ruffles. Gyro like Frito Scoops. Or the Kroger generic equivalent, excavators.
Excavators, excellent.
That's awesome. Don't put those in front of me.
That's like the Food City version of Chex, which is crispy hexagons.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's better than crispy pentagrams, I guess.
Crispy hexagons. It's like guys,
wow.
In research and development, we're working on it. It's like, shouldn't we call marketing for a name?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Marketing's like, hey, did you guys come up with that name? It's like,
shit.
Yeah. Crispy hexagons.
Made of corn product.
That sounds foreign. What is that?
It's a hexagon.
Okay. So we need to spend some points to get our guys up to full, right?
No, you're there.
I think it's just too painful. You got to lose a lot of cool stuff to get that 5 ship points.
No,
I'm talking about our individual.
He's talking about the 500 XPs.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Let's do that.
You're staying on task there, T-Bone. Nice.
No, I'm just crashing hard on it.
Hey.
Thanks.
Do you want some caffeine?
No, because that would keep me up all night.
I got some caffeine pills, man.
Hey, it worked great.
It works great. Oh,
says Tony the Tiger.
Oh, God.
Hack of great.
So, just like Dark Heresy advances, you just buy it off your table, or you can do your characteristic advances up here.
I'd do characteristic advances.
Mm-hmm. Fellowship. For,
so it's be oh, I'm 10. Sorry.
So, two advances.
I just want to point out.
Now you're out of towels.
Look, it's the same figure.
Yes, it is.
Literally the same figure.
That's not the same figure.
That oh, come on. Well, it's not painted the same.
Okay, well, that's about
the same. It's even got the scarf around the thing.
He's got the flamer in the right hand. He's got it's totally different.
Dude, whatever. That's totally the same different. Figure.
He does have the flamer. No, that's not a flamer.
It's an auto gun, but in your gun. Case, it'll be a best last gun.
Whatever, okay, so intermediate there, so that's 350. Then I need to spend two more.
Hey, dog sauce.
Dog sauce.
What? Did you?
No.
It's
rough stuff, man.
Sure.
Now somebody left a pair of socks in there.
Did you swipe the sock?
Yuck.
He's got the washing machine right there. Just drop it in, no problem.
I think that's.
There you go.
Live on board a ship long enough, you run into everything.
But we're supposed to not have any morale modifiers.
So I'm going to do Medicaid plus 10. That will put me where I need
well,
to be.
Well, but.
Actually, you have to have Medicaid as basic and trained.
No, it has to say Medicaid plus 10.
Oh, we're just this level.
That's just the trained Medicaid skill.
You're rank one.
You've already got it.
I've already got it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of redundancy in that.
Mopo.
Is there a mopo skill?
No.
That's a talent.
No.
All this redundancy is redundant.
Yeah, it is. Very redundant.
Well, but we figured out the reason why it's in there is because there are skills in here that aren't in Dark Heresy. So if you're porting over a Dark Heresy character...
Possibly, yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's solid.
That's a good theory. I'm going to take Secret Tongue Ecclesiary so I can talk to my brother Ecclesiaries. And you won't know what I'm talking about.
No, actually, it involves altar boys.
That's right.
Even better.
All right.
Your turn.
The delicate sound of molestation.
Well, it's got to be morale negative modifier.
We can't ever post this on the internet.
From what I was hearing today, apparently we can.
My mom's out there. She'll listen to this.
I say we're signaling this on Facebook, and my mom's on Facebook, so
she never checked it.
Everybody's mom is on Facebook. Well, that's right. You can become a fan of Minions of the Monster Man, Master Monster Minion on Facebook.
Of the Midway.
Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We'll send you $5.
You will send them $5.
No, we'll send them $5 worth of free product.
No problem.
It's a 500, right?
We'll announce your name on the next podcast.
Including a glazed sour cream donut from the first episode of...
Episode 0.
Episode 0.
You know, really, we could put names. We could draw names, and lucky winners could win some of these empty beer bottles.
Well,
drunk by members of the Master Monster Minion.
Little Gyro himself.
Little Gyro.
Just have to say $5 for shipping.
And then an additional $5 per autograph signature.
$10 shipping and handling.
Boy, we're prohibited. Offer void in the states of Illinois and Alaska.
Oh.
So I'm thinking for the background.
Oh, we had such a good music interlude going.
Oh, sorry. For the background, right? So
probably new rogue traders. You probably didn't start out as a rogue trader. You probably started out as a trade mission.
Okay.
So you get out there, and then you run into the Eldar pirates that have taken the Void Dragon.
Right? And Eldar pirates.
And you guys end up in a fight, and you take back this former military vessel that's been captured by the Eldar. So that's a huge disgrace to the Navy, right? Right. So in exchange for recovering this vessel, which, you know, technically is a spoil of war, so
right.
You get to keep it.
They'd have to sink it because of Xeno contact.
Well, they would have. Yeah, that's right. They would have destroyed it, but you know he worked some deal out in the salvage and got it. He was given the rogue trader warrant. Chris was
okay
for recovering this ship from the Xenos. The problem is our merchant mission was financed by this cabal of individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Who got a share of everything, all profits on the deal. So they now own a share of the ship.
Oh, man, that's not cool.
Yeah. And we're trying to pay it off.
And who are these guys? Oh, because it was financed by...
Yeah, they're investors.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, it's probably a planetary governor.
Did anybody follow any of that?
Trade
that was
guild.
Gold.
What?
Oh.
I'll clip it and send it to you. You can listen to the podcast.
Show notes.
Yeah. Okay. I'll put the time mark in show notes.
Basically, because the background for our ship, there was a, it was still in arrears. So we liberated the ship from the Eldar.
Yeah, we were a merchant, basically a merchant mission with investors who got a cut of everything we pawned. Well, what we found was an Imperial Navy vessel that had been taken over by the Eldar pirates. And we took it back. Now, since Chris M was the leader of our mission, he got all these accolades for recovering this Navy ship, was given the warrant as a rogue trader to go out and continue that kind of activity. But our financiers got a cut of all the profits. So when they gave us the ship, or when they salvaged the ship and we finangled it back, they own a share of the ship.
Okay, does this say arrears? Because arrears implies that we're behind on our
payments. Yeah.
We are behind on our payments. But to fluff it out... The shareholders got a cut of the salvage ship. So we still owe them.
Here's what happened, right? So we got the money for the ship. We gave it back. We had to give it back to the Navy for them to scrap. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we got this big lump sum, of which we were supposed to pay a portion of back to the investors. Well, what we did is we went and blew the entire sum on getting the ship out of the salvage.
Oh, okay.
So... We still owe them this money.
Oh.
So we got to get out there and hump and get them their money, before they come after us. But at the same time, they're pretty pleased having their hooks into this rogue trader.
Yeah, at the same time, we've got a pretty sweet ship.
Yeah.
It works.
It does more than work, dude. It's a sword class frigate.
So, what common... So, hang on here. You got the book. So, I think we got like 30,000 crew.
30,000.
Including, is it 1,000 in the barracks?
Oh.
We only need a couple. We only need like 8.
No, man. We got to figure out, who the first officer is, who's the
master.
I'm going
to do a T-O-N-E.
We got to have, Chekhov, Sulu, Uhura, Bones... The whole crew. All these guys working for
I'm
us.
Worf.
No, he's working for you.
Then who am I?
Well, see, what are you? Yeah, you're Worf. You're Worf. Yeah.
I've got Brother Bill, Brother Bob, and Brother John working for me.
Dude, you got like...
And
you
the
got like 1,200 brothers working for you.
And the Ocker Boys.
Yeah, you run the shrine, man.
I can serve 30,000.
You are the Pope of the Void Dragon.
That's right.
You even got a mitre.
He's got a censer and incense. Sends that there.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we're in combat, can we all be in the bridge? Because I don't want to be stuck in engineering.
No. Well, yeah, you can, but you have to go to certain places to do some certain things. If you want the give her all she's got ability, which mm-hmm. I forget what the name is, if you want to,
can we just call it that?
Get extra. Cool. Yeah, you have to go to the engine room. That's where you are.
Is there I can't do it, Captain?
Yeah, that's what this. Yeah, I forget the name of it. If if you're in the engine room when that happens and it gets hold and depressurized, well, you got to make some rolls to get out or you're going to die.
Can I eject the warp core?
You can, if something gets on fire, I think you can depressurize the section. It causes a morale loss. Because, you know, there's still guys out. Still in there.
Yeah. Well, then I guess I'll be in the gun room. The macro battery fuselage.
I'll probably be Chris P.
He's the pilot.
Master of gunnery.
I took master of space.
All right.
Cool, because you can get in there and you can do some maneuvers.
Yeah, I bumped up. That was one of the things I bought. Was I bought the pilot's spacecraft again, so I have it at plus 10.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Plus, I bumped my agility up to 45, so I get a 55 plus. Base on the spaceship and stuff. On the new one, spaceship. Plus whatever the master space gives me.
T-Bone, did you already level up and all that?
I get a 55 with a reroll.
So it's like half again, you're
rolling 100 points, right?
Yeah.
Alright, so. The sword class frigate holds 26,000 crew.
Holy frijoles.
26,000 crew.
We don't have to have that many crew, right?
Well, might as well.
Do you want to run, you know, fully operational? Yes.
We want to be a fully operational mothership.
Yes, we do.
It does not give a precise number for barracks, but it says thousands. So we're going to call it... We'll call it a regiment. You're carrying your regiment. One, roughly 1,000 soldiers.
Jeez.
So the other thing is, we got to figure out what world they're from. So they're basically Imperial Guard that have been, you know, given to you. So they're
we
from
don't have to figure out what world they're from.
Why not?
They're my resistant fighters from Fine the Eldar.
All right, well, there you go, yeah.
There's no Imperial Guard. They're not going to follow me because I'm not Imperial Guard.
Well, that's fine.
I mean, they're my army.
Yeah, they're your private army.
That's right.
Who's this guy?
That's the Void Master. Oh. See, Flounder's
light,
character.
Light power armor?
Nice.
Is that... Oh, that's from Warzone. I was trying to think where I'd seen those knee pads from.
All right, check this out, though. This is my super pride and joy. That's my arch militant. That was a predecessor figure to Necromunda called Confrontation, and that was a playtest figure for the playtest rules in 91. Huh? According to the little thingy on Stuff of Legends. You know, Chris might want to look at that. You can have a character. Here, go ahead. Flounder.
So what are our troops equipped with?
Hellguns.
No. They'd be common.
Hellguns are common.
Mm-hmm. They're rare.
Hotshot power packs.
Most of them are going to have probably
just lasgun, carapace armor.
Lasgun,
but what would be the role to get a few heavy stubbers or some?
We'll just standard packs. Imperial Guard loadout, right?
Heavy stubbers, scarce. That'd make you. Oh, yeah, we'll roll for that. You can start trying to outload them. You basically, you know, it's a new ship. We went back by your planet. We picked up your guys. You know, there's probably a few.
Do we want heavy stubbers or do we want something else?
We'll figure it out.
There's probably a few heavy stubbers in there.
And we've got 1,000 troops.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't see anything mechanical on how to use 1,000 troops. So we'll wing them.
We roll each separately.
Yeah.
Each attack separately. Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sweet.
But, I mean, in combat, we're rolling 1,000 D10.
I wonder.
By the way, I'm putting an order into Chess's.
That's right.
I want to buy 12 pounds of that. Well, flak armor is average availability. What the hell is that?
I don't think they get flak armor for everybody. But.
No, we're going to be carapace for our troops.
Really?
Yeah, our troops are going to be sweet. They're going to have hotshot, las rifles, carapace armor. 40 gigawatt plasma pulse rifle.
So our guys are unarmored. with las guns and frag grenades.
You know, screw las guns. Let's go with auto guns and say they all look like the M41A pulse rifle. All
right. Actually, auto gun is harder to get than las gun.
Las guns are cool.
We've all got las guns.
They just look like auto guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like the
they're las guns with banana mags.
It's like the Imperial Guard army that used to carry. You know, it used to be you could get auto guns. Yeah. The las guns looked much. Now the las guns look like
the auto guns
the
used to.
The auto guns yeah. used to.
The old las guns didn't have a butt.
Yeah, they were like yeah. they just had like a handle on the other guns sawed off.
Yeah, on the end.
So your Archaeotech las pistol is near unique.
What does near unique mean?
Minus 50 on the acquisition table.
Wow.
The only thing less available is unique. So, you know, there's just a handful of those things around.
I am not firing it.
No, fire it. It probably gives you awesome bonuses.
It just doesn't jam. Mm.
Is that all best craftsmanship gun mode?
Yeah.
But his is Archaeotech. That's got to be different.
So my sword won't jam.
Oh, you know what? Well, no, it's different from melee. Yeah.
Melee gives you like pluses to hit. It's like,
let's see what it says.
Dang it! I try to swing it, but for some reason.
Archaeotech Laz. Actually, it was Archaeotech Atreides. No, it says best.
The eye pistol.
Yeah, never jams, never overheats. If you've got a melee weapon of best craftsmanship. It's a plus 10 bonus to attack rolls and plus 1 to damage. Did someone get something good?
I have good something. I have a good mono sword.
Plus 5 to attack.
What's the armor bonus?
Any pluses to damage?
No.
What's the armor bonus on plaque armor?
I'm telling you, we want our troops wearing carapace armor.
So
do I. We want our troops to be the equivalent of stormtroopers.
Got it.
Train them all to miss the first shot.
Not those kind of stormtroopers. Imperial Guard stormtroopers.
You think you get guard flak armor? That's four everywhere. Does it say guard flak armor?
How do you put guard?
Let me look. Missionary.
My armor's not so good.
Missionary, you've got best craftsmanship guard flak armor.
Okay, so it's 5.
5 everywhere.
Dude, I've got 5, and I'm like the military guy. I'm making a roll. I want better armor. Let's do it. I'm ready.
Not too late. You rolled for your bolt pistol.
But now I'm rolling
and
something else.
And I had to fudge on that.
I'm rolling something else.
No, you're not.
When do we get new equipment?
First time you dock in a port, you can make a roll.
We're landing.
You're landed right now.
We're landing on port suffering.
He spent all your time on getting that bolt pistol, and as you're blasting off in outer space, you're like, oh, damn, I should have got that armor instead.
Like, look at this.
God.
My armor sounds cool, but it's
all that effort I put into stealing this bolt pistol, and the guy should have only sold me a common one. He didn't realize it was common. I totally ripped the guy off.
That's right.
Then you get on a little PA system and say, I know 30,000 of you are expecting to go out into space right now, but we got to turn around.
Well, you know.
26,000.
You're never going to find a sailor that's going to go, no, we can't go back to port.
I'm going on strike. We're not going back.
Yeah, I guess you're going to be our authority here. Yeah. You tell us what the crew would do.
You guys
But pretty much you guys are, you know, you're the officers. You're the high officers. There's a tier of officers underneath you. There's several hundred officers underneath you.
So are we equal rank with the rogue trader?
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
He's the captain, and there's certain things that only the captain can do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's no mechanic that you have to follow his orders. You know, we're gonna play nice.
Yeah, okay. So Miller's not going to tell us what to do.
But with 28,000 guys, I'm thinking I need probably less than 100 priests.
Do you tell me how much?
Less? 26,000 guys? You need 100 priests.
Dude, that's 100, but people want one priest for 260.
That's actually a lot.
So he needs more priests. So
there were two chaplains on an aircraft carrier with 5,000 people.
Oh.
Yeah.
There were two actual challenges.
Well, actually, you probably do need a 100 because this is the ecclesiarch.
This is a much more religious
factor. So what do you have, 50?
You want 100? It's 100. You tell me what you want.
Yeah, how many do you want?
You know, what our troops look like?
Right now we've got 25,000 people left. We got a regiment army of 1,000.
How are we feeding these people?
Basically dry goods, evaporated milk.
there is a crew reclamation thing you can get. And you turn as you take damage, you can turn them into servitors for a morale loss. Mm-hmm. But you don't lose population.
Is that Jenkins? Oh, man.
Oh, damn.
Jenkins.
Don't look him in the eyes. It's creepy.
But no, I was thinking about this. When you start reading the fluff about the rogue traders, it strikes me a lot of, it reminds me a lot of like the British Imperial era. And you had these, flamboyant, charismatic characters out on their own, raising their own armies, doing God knows what, enriching themselves however they could. And, if it worked out for the betterment of the empire, anything they did was forgiven.
So the ends justify the means.
Yeah, except you combine that with like the Holy Crusades, where you've got this religious theme to everything, and there you go. That's this game.
All right, well, I gotta get going. I gotta stop. Cat letter.
Oh,
cat letter.
What time is it?
Well, we can't just walk out. This would be the end of the podcast, so we have to say our farewells.
I gotta go.
So I think it was a good show.
Good show. Good show, everybody. Congratulations. Flanders gotta go get cat litter.
Next week we'll be covering.
Next week we'll finish character creation.
That'll be out of town.
Okay, now I kind of see why certain podcasts run 3 hours.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they hit everything.
All right. Well, this was good. Good characters. When are we gonna play our first game?
Well, I was gonna be ready tonight.
Okay. Next week?
I'm in JC next week, but you gotta play
the whole week. You said Tuesday night. You want to play Tuesday night?
Yeah, in JC.
Oh no.
Well, we can Skype him in.
We can Skype you in.
Go to Russian's house.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
What about Thursday night?
JC.
You're in JC the whole week.
Yeah, 3-day conference.
Dude, I'll bring the camera. We'll Skype it in
and podcast it.
Yeah.
And podcast it.
Dude. I'll be at work, so.
So no next week.
No next week.
Okay.
I got to work on Thursday morning. So
looks like Song of Blade and Heroes next week.
Yeah, I guess so.
Those games I don't know. I actually thought we were going to play Song of Blade and Heroes tonight. I
was like, all right, I get to play it finally. No. No. How do I want to do it?
Just push the red button there in front.